over here.
Finish him.
Fatality.
Babe-tality.
Bestiality. What?
Well, I know there's a babality, but isn't there a babyality too?
There is a babyality. What is up, Nick Wetmore?
I don't know if I like this non-mobility thing I'm doing here.
Why?
Hooking up to my laptop. I like walking around. I like to be free. Like my boxer brief. Sometimes I like to be free.
Oh, hang on. Emergency. Hang on.
Uh-oh. I don't know where Martino went off to. All right. Time to vamp a little bit. What has Nick been reading? Well, I got through Jason Aaron's Wolverine Weapon X series. That started off very strong and then hit the midpoint. And the midpoint for me was a little low. And then it ended very strong.
I forgot my drink, Nick.
Oh, no. I was just vamping. Vamping with what I read.
Oh, what'd you read?
I got through Jason Aaron's Wolverine Weapon X run.
Never heard of him.
Oh, brother.
Who?
Not that old story. Not that old story.
I like Jason Aaron. I'm just kidding.
I was just telling the listener, it started off with a bang, very strong. And then the middle portion, ooh, Chimama for me. Mm. And then the end portion with Deathlok was awesome yet again. But maybe that's just because I love me some Deathlok. And this was the one, and I don't know if you remember it, but Deathlok was very, and I think that's sort of what got me interested in Cable a little bit, at least to try the Straczynski run, right? Straczynski? Dwayne Straczynski?
Yeah.
Straczynski run.
Yep.
Because it was very much like Terminator 2.
Mm.
Like, I want a guy like Deathlok, and I got to say for Aaron, I love that Deathlok would just come onto the scene and he's like, hey, you're Slag. You did XYZ. And he's like, well, I haven't really thought of a name yet, but, you know, that's a pretty good name. But, yeah, I am so-and-so. And he just blows him away before the hero or villain even started to think about what to do.
You know, Terminator 2, second best action flick of all time.
Ooh. First one, Bill and Ted's Adventure.
All right, let's play a game.
Well, yeah.
The game is called Top 5 Action Flicks of All Time.
Ooh, I like a game. Okay, yes. This is like old. This is retro Nerdy Legion. Welcome to the banana hammock.
This is the first time that I've drank in 2 months. So let's get it on.
Let's do this right now. Yes.
All right. Top 5 Action Flicks of All Time. Go.
Ooh, boy.
Are you going to go in order? No particular order?
Well, I got to first come up with 5.
You can't come up with 5?
I can come up with right now. I can come up. Oh, boy. But is this sci-fi or is this action?
Doesn't matter.
Boy, I'm saying it in my head. I'm working it out right now.
It could be sci-fi and action.
Sure. But I would put it more in the sci-fi category.
Spit it out.
Where would Blade Runner fall?
Ooh,
absolutely.
The original.
Sci-fi.
The original.
Of course. How dare you? Dare you?
I would put Blade Runner up there. It would be on the lower rung of my list.
But it's sci-fi or is it action?
I would put it in either.
Okay. Well, then I'm putting it in there.
Is this in order or no order?
I'm trying to arrange them in my head right now. Good God, it's hard to see. Ooh, yoy, yoy. Okay. All right. I think God.
I believe in you.
There's so many hurdles.
Listen,
right now. Okay.
Don't doubt yourself.
Okay. Let's do this. All right. This is spur of the moment. Number 5, Blade Runner.
Good one.
Number 4, Predator.
Ooh, we're about to have words. Continue.
That's all right. Number 3. Oh, this sucks. Number 3. Oh, I so want to put Road Warrior, but I'm going to put Mad Max Fury Road. But Road Warrior was one of the first action films I ever went to. That's why it holds a fantastic spot in my heart with Tom Wetmore and Taking Me. Mm. But let's go Fury Road. Number two, Die Hard. And number one, number one's what we were just talking.
Terminator 2?
Yeah,
Terminator 2. I'll give you that, because that Terminator 2 is the best Terminator of the Terminator franchise. Mm-hmm. So I will give you that spot. That's fine. Here's mine. I'm going to go from top to bottom.
But can I tell you my prerequisite?
Sure.
Everyone on my list, just like a good comedy or a good drama, everyone on my list, if I ever see it playing anywhere, I'm stopping and watching that MF-er the entire way through to end credits. Mm-hmm. So all of those are easy rewatchables for me. Mm-hmm. Okay, go on. Your list.
Number one, Predator, the greatest action flick of all time, which I just rewatched.
You're not even going from 5 to 1. You come right out of the box with your climax.
Because you gave your list from bottom to top, so I'm going from top to bottom.
Well, you gotta stroke the bottom before going all the way up to the climax.
I stroke it every which way.
Okay.
I stroke it to the east. I stroke it to the west. I stroke it whichever way she likes it best. Okay? That's how I stroke it.
All right. Number two. I'll give you that. All right.
Number two, Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Number three, Lethal Weapon.
Oh, good call. Yeah, that's a good one.
Number four, The Matrix.
Whoa, good one. Except there are laggy parts in the first one.
Yeah. Look, you can't bat 100 every time. You know what I mean?
But I hate to say it, I might take that over Blade Runner, because I probably would watch that over and over again.
You would. In fact, I recently rewatched it.
Oh, and?
Fantastic.
All right.
20 years later, still holds up.
Cool.
What was the number four? Number five, Indiana Jones.
Oh, I forgot Indy.
You forgot Indy. Shame on you. The tough one is which one. I want to say Temple of Doom, because I really like Temple of Doom. But I might go Last Crusade. I don't know yet. I got to think about that one.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But good choices.
Yeah.
I would say obviously the newest one on this list is The Matrix, but that's still a 20-year-old movie.
Well, the newest one on mine is a 3-year-old movie or 4-year-old movie.
Touche. Well, I would put Fury Road in top 10.
Easily.
Yeah. Is it the best Mad Max? I don't know. Maybe.
It has the most action.
It does have the most action.
But the best one for me is still Road Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyways, that's good. That's
that was great. High octane.
Well, I mean, if you talk about action, you got to have high octane.
For sure.
Let's kick it down a notch. Let's talk about sleep. No, I'm just kidding.
I would even say Predator might be the most quotable movie on both of our lists.
There's some great lines in Predator.
Die Hard's close, because a lot of people quote Die Hard shit. But I would say Predator, there's just awesome lines in Predator.
I mean, the best line of all time of any movie is from Predator.
Ooh.
And it is, can you guess which one it is?
Play It Again, Sam?
Oh, that's a good one, but no.
Oh.
It's Get to the Chopper!
That's the best one?
Hell yeah!
What about I Ain't Got Time to Bleed?
Oh, yes, that is great. Hey, Mac. No, what's his name? His name's Mac. Mac's the black guy. What's his name? Jesse Ventura, whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesse, you're bleeding. He looks over. No, I ain't. I ain't got time to bleed. Oh, yeah, so good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Thank God you didn't say the Lethal Weapon with what's his name? Oh, not Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito?
I know, but I always get them mixed up. Who am I thinking of?
Danny DeVito? That's twins.
I forget the guy's name.
Uh, D- Danny.
He was in Goodfellas.
Danny. Shit.
Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo? No. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't recall. Either.
The Goodfellas guy.
But he was terrible. That character was terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Can you think of great movie lines, or is that too much?
From Lethal Weapon?
No, from like greatest movie lines.
I just gave you two.
Well,
played
I know.
Against them, and I don't have time to bleed, sucker.
One of my favorite lines is from Meet the Parents.
What?
What's his name? De Niro's character? Because, you know, he's always so serious.
Yeah.
He's like, I have nippies, Greg. Could you milk me?
Oh, my God. Yes,
yeah,
I do.
I love that.
Yes, I do.
I love that.
Oh, that's too good.
Anyways.
So what's going on with you?
There's so much going on with me, Nick.
Uh-oh.
There's way too much going on with me.
Really?
For the length of this podcast.
Hey, we can be here all night. I have plenty of time.
Listen, we can't bring the people down after kicking off this episode with the greatest action flicks of all time.
That's true. That's very true.
It's true. You know, I don't know if I ever told you the story, but when I was in fourth grade, I used to draw naked pictures of Jessica Rabbit.
What?
Have I never told you this? It's true.
No.
This is a true story. So I don't know what year it came out. What year did Who Framed Roger Rabbit come out?
86, 87?
Sure. That sounds good. We'll go with that. So fourth grade was in 1991. So this movie was already old. However, the first time I saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit was in fourth grade in 1991. And back then I was a little bit of an artist. I enjoyed drawing, you know what I mean? I wanted to be either like an animator or a comic book artist back then.
It came out in 88, just 80, to like it.
88, okay, so fair enough. So it wasn't that old. So I used to draw all the time, and I saw that movie, and I was in love with Jessica Rabbit. Jessica Rabbit was so fine. And so I used to draw her in my sketchbook, you know, when I was in school. And I remember one day my buddy Ernesto, the same guy that introduced me to pornography in the fourth grade. I don't know if you remember this story. Her red hot pussy called back to last week's episode or whatever, 2 weeks ago, maybe longer. Who knows? Some episode of this podcast. He's like, hey, you should draw a naked picture of Jessica Rabbit. And I had never thought about it, but it made perfect sense. So I basically drew Jessica Rabbit and then just like erased the dress and drew some private parts on it, and it was fantastic. I used to sell those things for like $3 a piece, and all the little fourth grade boys came into my yard. I said, what up, gents? You want to see some Jessica Rabbit boob? And they're like, yeah, yeah, $3. Bam. True story. I did get caught one time, though. And
really?
So I couldn't draw naked Jessica Rabbit ever again. Yeah, it scarred me for life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But lucky you're a little entrepreneur.
Well, you know, back in those days.
With your Jessica Rabbit hentai.
Oh, episode title. We got it already. But, oh man, if I save a note of this to myself.
good luck with that.
I got to be careful because usually when I save a note to myself on these episode titles, I just duck, duck, go them. Do not DuckDuckGo Jessica Rabbit hentai.
No.
Just for the record. First result, Pornhub.com. Never been there.
Don't know what that is.
Never
is
been
that
there.
A hubcap?
Yes, it's where you buy hubcaps for your for your vehicles.
Gotcha. All right, well, that's good to know.
Yes. Which reminds me, I went and got two tires today.
What?
I did. I got two tires from a truck. That's how you got to say it when you have a truck, you know?
Sure.
Because I'm in the South, and that's how we talk. And I've been trying to get tires for my truck.
Yes.
For like 3 weeks.
Ah, good. Are you just slipping and sliding? Like, what was? Or are they bawling? What's going on?
I've had this truck for 4 years. I've never even rotated the tires.
Ooh.
Because I just don't have time.
Oh my.
So I never rotated tires, and they're all, you know, getting down. It's time to replace them. But especially the front two need to be replaced. In particular, because on the front passenger side, I've had my spare tire on it for the past 3 years. Because the tire that was there still looks brand new, but somehow it was losing air, and I couldn't find a hole in it. And so it's just been sitting in my garage for the past 3 years. And so I had the spare tire on there for the past 3 years. Never had a problem with it. Great little spare tire. Whoever makes it. Wrangler, this episode sponsored by Goodyear Wrangler HTs. Get yours today at your local tire shop. Be sure to use offer code NerdyLegion, doesn't change their tires, to get 0% off. Yes, right. What was your question?
So the spare tire, that wasn't a donut.
No, it wasn't a donut. I mean, it's a truck, okay. So it's a full-size spare.
I don't know. I've never had a truck in my life. Don't know.
This is the first one I've ever had, so I'm learning a lot as well.
But
I've had a spare tire on there for like 3 years.
And, how do you not have time to rotate a tire?
Listen.
It doesn't take that long. And besides, this is the new Martin Ferretti. He goes into work, and you know what time he leaves? 5 o'clock on the dot.
Yeah,
boom.
That's true. But, you know, when I leave, the last thing I want to do is go somewhere else and sit there and be bored out of my fucking mind while they rotate my tires.
But you can have priorities. You can go and do that and then sit there and read a digital comic. That's all right.
Guess what? My priority is not changing my tires or rotating them. So,
well, that sounds dangerous.
So it wasn't that big a deal because, like, the tire was still good. But then on the front driver's side, it was starting to get bald, Nick.
Oh, boy.
So bald, in fact, that when it rains, half the tire looks like it's dry because there's no tread on it.
Oh, my God.
And so for the past, like, I don't know, we'll say 5-6 weeks, I've been driving back and forth to work with the tire like this. Technically, literally, completely half bald. And over the last, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, there may or may not have been, like, I don't know, like an 8-inch gash on the tire where you can see the, you know, the metal strips inside the tire. Maybe. I mean, it's possible. It's possible they were there.
Why are you living life on such an edge? I don't like this.
I'm living on the edge.
I'm safe, Martino.
Listen, you know, Aerosmith is, that was the first CD that I bought.
Not this thrill jockey.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, what can I tell you? I have a giant Carpe Diem tattooed on my chest. Literally, I do. That's not a joke. I do have Carpe Diem tattooed on my chest.
In jailhouse script?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. In what's the script that all the kids use? What was that called? Papyrus.
Comic Sans.
Comic Sans. There you go.
You had it done with a sharpened paper clip.
Yes. Matter of fact, it was my second tattoo when I was like 17.
Oh.
I got Carpe Diem on my chest. Anyways, because, you know, I was like a young, naive, stupid-ass motherfucker back then. I mean, I'm still a dumb-ass motherfucker. But back then, you like, you know, I mean, you're in high school. What do you know, right? You don't know shit.
You don't know nothing.
I mean, I'm 37. I still don't know shit. You know what I
mean? You don't know nothing. Yeah.
Listen, you can cuss. It's okay.
That's all right. I don't need to.
I've already cussed like 37 times on this podcast.
I know. You go right ahead.
So I mean, you don't know anything. So I got this Carpe Diem tattooed on my chest because it was cool, right? I mean, like, first of all, I was 17 and, you know, like nobody else had tattoos. And I already had my second one. But then also it was like one of those things where like, hey, look at me. I have a motto because I'm cool. You know, I read Walden Pond or whatever. You know what I mean?
I saw that Robin Williams movie.
Yeah, there you go. What was it called? Dream of Electric Sheep? No, that's Philip K. Dick. No. What's the one? No. You know what I'm talking about.
Last Poet Society.
Oh, that one. I was thinking of the other one. What's the one where he dies and his wife dies and everybody's dead?
Something like All Dreams Shall Come.
When Dreams May Come. There you go.
There you go.
My mom's second favorite movie behind Last Poet Society.
That was a pretty sad, cool visual movie. I'll give it credit. I give it kudos.
It is a great movie if you watch it high. Not that I have ever done that.
I wouldn't even know. I watched it sans high, and I was still very happy I watched it.
Listen, obviously my dad and 15-year-olds listen to this podcast, so I would never talk about drugs on this podcast.
Thank you.
Because I've never done them.
Hello, Nelson.
Hello, Nelson.
So let's rewind a little bit.
I don't even know what we're talking about. What are we talking about?
Just let me steer the boat.
Oh, okay, good.
Your first CD you ever bought was Aerosmith.
Yes, the one with the cow on the cover.
Oh, what was that one called?
Get a Grip.
Yes, Get a Grip.
Get a Grip.
Gotcha. Yeah. I was going to guess Permanent Vacation.
Because you had a grip them cow nipples. Man, yes. This episode is full of great titles.
The Uttas.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Get a Grip. Fantastic album.
That was a good album. I'm a Permanent Vacation fan, so I'll take Permanent Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Pump?
No.
Wasn't there a Pump? Aerosmith Pump?
Oh, a CD? Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Pump was not in this one, though. This one had, what was the song, Crazy? Remember Crazy? Crazy was all over the radio.
Oh, yeah. That was a popular one.
Was that on that movie? The Ben Affleck movie?
I think so.
Apocalypse Now? What was that movie called?
Oh, jeez. God. Wasn't it in his moon?
Yeah, that one. Apocalypse Now. Exactly.
Not,
we got it.
Not the moon movie. It's the dumb... Because there were two movies that came out exactly at the same time, and they both were about asteroids smashing into Earth.
Yeah. Well, so, what was that movie called?
Who the hell knows? You think I'm paying...
No, I want to know because I saw that. That was a good movie.
Oh, sure.
It had, what's his name? Tyler Perry's daughter. Not Tyler Perry. What's his name?
Oh, man. Stephen Perry. Good God. It's scary that I know that I'm following you with this.
What year was that? Like 90 something? It was called.
I'm rushing to find it right now as we speak.
I can't find it right now. Armageddon.
Armageddon.
That's what it's called. Apocalypse Now.
The worst.
Oh man, yeah, that was like that was the time for world ending movies. It was like end of the millennium.
Yep.
So you had Armageddon. You had Day After Tomorrow. You had The Core. You had, oh shit, I don't know. There were like 15,000 of them.
Yeah, that one with the old dudes going into space to break up the...
Oh, yeah, something cowboys. Space cowboys?
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, buddy. See, that's what we need. Listen, let me tell you what's wrong with society today. Martin's about to fix it all for you.
Uh-oh.
What we need right now is some good motherfucking apocalyptic movies. That are just fun as shit. Because it's like, hey, the world's ending. Ha ha ha. We got it under control. And people will feel a lot better. I guarantee that, Nick. Guaranteed.
Can't you just watch Apocalypto again?
Oh, whoa. I guarantee you, no one listening to the show has ever even heard of Apocalypto. However, I have seen it twice. It was actually really good.
Of course you have.
It's really good. It's
Gibson can direct a good film.
What was it? Maya? It was Mayan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. God, yeah, that was good. And they fucking spoke in Quechua the whole movie. Oh my God, I jizzed my pants. Because I had never heard Quechua spoken before. It was great. I mean, he might be an anti-Semite, but he loves some Indians.
But you love some language.
I do.
That's what you're up for.
When I watch like Lord of the Rings, my favorite parts are when they talk in Quenya, because it sounds so fucking beautiful, especially when Steve Perry's daughter's talking. Tyler Perry.
There you go.
That guy.
Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry's daughter. Aisha Tyler.
Oh, hello.
Oh, man. See how the mind works, Nick?
Mm-hmm.
The mind takes you to some weird places.
It does take you places, welcome. That's for sure.
We should welcome people to the show. Welcome to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to visit our sponsor, Goodyear Wrangler HTs, at your, where did it go? DiscountTire.com. Tell them that Martin sent you, and you will get a weird look when you tell them that. Yeah. For free. A free weird look.
A discounted free look.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. You can't go wrong with that. But I miss those days, man, because there were like a shit ton of those movies. Matter of fact, I recently watched Geostorm. Have you ever seen Geostorm?
I don't like apocalyptic movies.
Geostorm, bro. Listen, is this too much? Am I being too much? Should I calm it down?
What are you talking about?
I'm just asking a question. Because I don't want to lose all of our 15-year-old listeners. You know what I mean?
No, I love it. Okay, you're good. Turning them on to brand new movies.
Okay, good. Because if you cut it off at the you're turning them on, we would have a problem. Because Nick, they're 15. So your priorities straight.
Gross.
So what was I saying?
You were talking about Geostorm.
Geostorm. So Geostorm is on Amazon Prime Video. You can watch it for free. You should, because number one, it is a terrible fucking movie. Number two, it is a complete garbage script. Number three, it's fucking awesome. I love the shit out of watching it. I watched it. It is Reagan's favorite movie of all time, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
Reagan. Really? All right, listen. I love zombie movies. I love post-apocalyptic movies. Reagan loves a subset genre of those movies, and that subset genre is what would be the name of it? I'm trying to come up with like a short name, but I don't know if there's a short name. Maybe you can help me out. She likes
ugly duckling films.
No.
That
would be Mismatched
boyfriend girlfriend films.
No, definitely not.
Where it's like a Romeo Juliet situation. Definitely not. They're not supposed to be in love, but they are.
That's like, what's that movie? Face Off. That's how that movie is.
Oh, brother.
With John Travolta and, Nick Cage. They fall in love and they have to rip each other's faces off.
Oh my gosh.
This is a good game. We should play this game sometime.
That's just me. Maybe those are my favorite movies. Cause right now I just want to go watch Pretty in Pink.
Oh, Lord. So, Pretty in Pink. Which one's that? Oh, that's the what's her name? The redhead, Cyndi Lauper.
Yes,
Cyndi Lauper's in that. Yes,
or Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, her. That's a good movie. I'll give you that.
It's a great movie.
Yes, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
and that's not even my kind of movie, but I like that movie.
Right.
So Reagan likes this subset of like kind of in the process of apocalypse.
You mean leading up to the apocalypse?
Kind of. She likes she likes movies where like the earth is like, fuck you, you destroyed me, and I'm going to fight back. Like,
so she likes that earthquake movie with The Rock.
Whatever that was called.
It's going to happen.
Rampage.
We have to get away from this fault line. Yes. And now it's going to happen.
There you go. That one. She likes that one. She likes like Twister. Twister's a good movie. She likes Twister. She likes Day After Tomorrow. She likes Geostorm. Geostorm is her favorite of these movies. We're like, nature goes awry because humanity has fucked up the planet and people start dying left and right. That's her favorite genre of film. And Geostorm is her favorite. And so she talked about this movie and I saw it on Amazon Prime. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch it. So I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. But then I got to the end and I was like, you know what? That was really fucking enjoyable.
Who's in it?
Gerard Depardieu, no. Gerard Way, no. Gerard, the Children of Men guy, what's his name?
Gerard Butler?
Gerard Butler.
Holy cats.
Gerard Butler.
Is that the one where he's the president?
He is not the president. He is a scientist.
Oh, he's stretching his acting muscles, in other words.
Yes. By the way, Children of Men, extremely underrated film. I love the shit out of that. I also recently watched that. Still holds up.
But was he in Children of Men?
Yeah, he was the guy protecting the girl that was pregnant.
Wasn't that the guy, the same guy who was in The Croupier?
The what? Listen, don't bring your fancy French shit in here. Speak English.
Bill Bomer, shout out to my guy, Bill Bomer. Clive Owen.
Oh, Clive Owen. Who the hell's Gerard Butler?
Wait. Gerard Butler was in 300.
Isn't that the same guy?
No.
Geostorm is Gerard Butler.
Okay, but that's the 300 guy, not the guy that was in Children of Men.
Oh, Clive Owen is a Children of Men guy.
Yes, the croupier.
Oh, you're right. Oh, Law Abiding Citizen. I think that's on Prime, too. That's really fucking good. That's with Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, go watch The Croupier.
No, I'm not watching some French movies. What's that French movie I really like? Where's my Plex? High something.
The Big Blue.
No,
free diving off the coast of France.
Yeah, that stars Paul Walker and Jessica. Bell. What's her name?
No, Jessica Alba.
No, Paul Walker and Jessica Alba.
They're not doing free diving movies.
Deep Blue this Sea.
No, this is Jean Reno and Rosanna Arquette.
Oh, she has got some boobs on her.
Oh, jeez.
Not too much.
Your hentai. Your Jessica Rabbit hentai.
I'm thinking of Into the Blue. It's Paul Walker and Jessica Alba. It's a surfing movie that I've never seen. But Netflix wanted to recommend to me like every fucking time I signed in. And then now that it's on Amazon Prime, Amazon thinks I want to watch it. Listen, this movie is freaking 15 years old. I don't want to watch it.
But how old's Geostorm?
Oh, it's like 2 years old.
Really? I thought that was much older.
Geostorm? No, let's find out. Geostorm, 2017, bro.
Ugh.
Ugh, the genre is disaster film? How terrible. Who came up with that?
That's what you like.
That's not a good genre for a film.
That's what you like.
Why don't they come up with some, like, hootie-finootie French term for it? How do you say, Alexa, how do you say disaster in French? Disaster. Oh, I can't say that.
Sure you can. Give that a go. It's like, with your...
Yeah, I know you don't know that one because I don't fucking speak French. The French movie that I like is High Tension. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's really good. You will not like it because you do not like tense movies. However, it is really good. It is my wife's favorite film. It is a horror film, in French. I mean, you can watch it subtitled, whatever, or whatever. What's that called? When they dubbed. Ugh. Don't ever watch international stuff dubbed. However, if you don't want to read subtitles, then watch it dubbed. High Tension. It is, my wife was telling me about it and I was like, this sounds freaking retarded. And we started watching it and I thought it was like a lesbian movie. But then like as the movie kept going, it's not a lesbian movie and it's like a serial killer type movie. Like Texas Chainsaw, one of those kind of movies. Like it gets pretty freaking gory. And it's really good. And it is also kind of a lesbian movie. I don't want to spoil how the two things tie together. Just go watch High Tension. It's really good. Yes. It is part of the New French Extremity movement.
Is that on Amazon for free?
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't know. Let me find out. Yes, I do want to sign it. Listen, I have this problem. You know how weird I am with internet stuff? Like internet security stuff.
For sure.
So anything that I have to sign into, I have this this extension in Firefox, my favorite browser, and it asked me if I want to open it in a personalized container because whenever I open a tab, I can't sign into anything. Like if I go to Amazon on a different tab, it's like, you sure you don't want to do it in this private container? I'm like, no, I want to just open it. And then if I do that, it doesn't actually sign me in.
What does it do?
It's like you know, like incognito windows.
Oh, okay.
It's like that, but for tabs, except it keeps your sign in if you do it within the same tab. I don't even know what I was looking for. What am I looking for? High Tension.
That's for your hentai Jessica Rabbit stuff.
Yeah, hentai Jessica Rabbit.
The private browsing.
Yep. So it is not on Amazon Prime Video. You can rent it. However, if you subscribe to a 7-day free trial of the Tribeca Shortlist streaming service, then you can watch it for free.
No, thank you. Don't have the finances for that. No, thank you.
I mean, 7-day free trial.
Who's going to remember after 7 days to go back in and do that? I don't got time for that.
That's what happened to me with Showtime, because I signed up to watch Spider-Man Homecoming.
Uh-huh.
And guess what I didn't do? Watch Spider-Man Homecoming. I watched every other movie on Showtime. And then I said to myself, F this goddamn service. I never watched Spider-Man Homecoming, so I canceled it.
Yeah.
And then Amazon's like, hey, you should subscribe to HBO because there's these movies on there that you want to see. And I said, yes, I do want to see those. And I also want to watch Westworld Season 2, which I hadn't seen. So I signed up for a free trial. And 3 months later, here we are. I still have not seen Westworld Season 2.
Wow. Did you watch Billions?
Is that the...
On Showtime?
Is that the movie with Hulk Hogan?
No, it's the series with Paul Giamatti on Showtime.
Paul Giamatti? I thought he was dead.
I don't believe so.
Who's the one that's dead?
I don't know.
Isn't that Paul Giamatti?
I don't know. Are you thinking of the guy from The Sopranos?
No. The guy that looks like Paul Giamatti.
I don't know who that'd be other than Paul Giamatti.
Well, he did that movie, Snow, about that Canadian rapper. No, what was his name? Not Snow. God damn it.
Informer. You know, you got the big man, yeah.
The guy that always played a bad guy.
Whoever would remember Snow?
Me, because I used to play the living shit out of that CD.
Oh, my God. It had more than one song on it? Really?
Wow. Well, I bought the single.
Good, smart.
Because I knew that song.
And you wanted the 12-inch version on CD, of course.
That's what she said. Yes. But, no, I bought the single, and so I played it, like, on repeat for, like, 3 weeks straight.
Of course.
And then I quit, because so did the rest of the world.
Yeah, everybody else gave up on Snow, and you're like, I'm gonna stick it out with the Snow guy. I think he's gonna go somewhere.
No, nobody ever said that.
And then 3 weeks later, you're like, he ain't going anywhere.
Nobody ever said that.
And then you swapped over to Right Said Fred, and everything else was history.
Right Said Fred. So good.
Yeah.
So good. What the hell is this guy's name?
I was going to go Right Said Fred, or I was going to go Jesus Jones.
Ooh, Jesus Jones.
Both of them were very, very much the one-hit wonders.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find out who Paul Giamatti's twin brother is.
He was the guy in Sideways.
Dude, I know that, but I'm talking about he was a villain in Mission Impossible, and he's done three.
What?
Yeah, he's.
Are you talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Philip! Yes!
They don't even look anything alike. They're both ugly, but.
They look like identical twins.
They do. Oh my God. You have to put the gin down.
They both have 1,000 names strung together. Listen, this is how I correlate people. Okay? If I have not shown this throughout this entire disaster of a podcast, is that this is how I relate people.
Okay, now that you brought up Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes.
I want to tangent over. When were you living, what age were you living in New York?
Until I was 21.
Did you ever go see any of the open-air theater that they would put on?
That does not sound familiar, my friend.
Well, like Philip Seymour Hoffman would perform, or like, who was it? Al Pacino would do like Shakespeare in the Theater. In the park.
I did not, but I did meet Al Pacino because he was my high school friend's neighbor.
Wow, that's weird.
Yes.
I just love, Chicago might do theater in the park, but it's such a rare occurrence. But then I always hear, like, listening to, well, watching David Letterman and the, like, New York talk shows would always have on, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman and, like, these big actors. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm directing, you know, so-and-so in a production of X in the park for the next month. And I'm always like, dang, that's so cool that New York does stuff like that.
Huh. I did not go see that.
Okay, just curious.
However, I mean, in Chicago, you guys have so many outstanding celebrities like R. Kelly. I mean, God.
Yes, R. Kelly and Gary Sinise. Yeah.
Rip.
And Joe Mantegna. Yes, yes.
Yes, Joe Mantegna.
But we do have a good theater. It's a good theater city. It just doesn't do any open air theater. That's why I was asking.
Gotcha. No, yeah, that's true. There's an amphitheater in Central Park.
Yeah.
Very cool. I did not ever go see that. I did go to the theater a few times. I went to, you know, like Broadway and stuff like that. Off-Broadway nice. Shows.
To see big stuff or to see smaller productions?
The first one I went to see was Cats, and it was terrible.
That had to be a school thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Fucking Cats. Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Matter of fact, for anyone listening, if you think theater is boring, I took German for 5 years.
Now, that's boring.
From 8th grade through 12th grade, I took German in school. And, and our German professor did a yearly field trip to the opera.
Oh, so you went to see some Wagner?
Yep.
Of course.
Every year we would go down to the opera house and watch an opera. It's pretty good. Salome is my favorite.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure as a kid you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, at least we get out of school for a day.
Well, the first time I went, I was like, the opera? Why the hell would I want to go see that? And I was not very excited.
Sure.
I did not enjoy most of the performance, but it was cool. And then, like, preceding years, I was like, all right, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fun. Plus, we were, the youngest people there. Like, if you combine the age of our entire class, it would equal the age of, like, everybody else there.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, it was good. It was great. I also found out this week, Nick.
Yeah, I
have so many stories. This might need to be a multi-part podcast.
Hey, whatever. This is your podcast.
It's in the title. The Nerdy Legion with Nick Whitmore, sponsored by Goodyear Wrangler HTs.
Be sponsored by Wrangler, the jeans.
I love
the boy jeans.
Wrangler jeans.
Of course you do. You're a little boy.
I do not wear the jeans. I wear the pants. They're not cargo pants. They're like
mom jeans.
No.
Husky jeans.
I don't know what they call them. I'm sure there's a name for them. They look like slacks.
Metrosexual.
But they're like very informal.
Skinny jeans?
Like, they're like cargo pants without the pockets. You know what I'm talking about?
You mean baggy jeans?
No, they're fitted.
Fitted? Skinny jeans.
Listen, I have lost a lot of weight, okay?
I know you did. Congratulations.
I may or may not be wearing form-fitting clothing. I don't know what to tell you.
This is a podcast, as everyone knows. There's no body shaming allowed. Congratulations, Martin Ferretti. You've Thanks. Done a great job.
Yes, fantastic. Although tonight I had this fucking giant bowl of spaghetti and it was delicious.
What the fuck? Every time you get on this damn podcast, you're like, I am straight and narrow. Until I went over to my mother-in-law's house and then I had about 50,000 different carbs and I just ate and ate and ate and yum, yum, yum.
Listen,
you get so jealous.
Every couple of weeks I do a nice cheat day and today just so happened to be my cheat day. Because I was going to do it over the weekend, and I there was nothing that I wanted to do my cheat day with. So I did today. For breakfast, I had 4 slices of pizza. For lunch, I had a summer sausage and a cheeseburger.
What kind of pizza?
It was chicken and ranch stuffed crust.
Made by who?
DiGiorno.
DiGiorno?
Yeah.
Wait, a cheat day and you went for frozen pizza?
Well, look, my wife made it yesterday and there was leftovers, so I ate the leftovers for breakfast.
Ay, caramba.
So that's what I had for lunch. And then I also had a marshmallow chocolate heart. Because Valentine's candy is on sale at all the stores. So it was 25 cents, so I got me one of them. And let's see, what else did I have? I had a Monster Energy drink.
Jesus.
The orange one. That's zero. Oh, it's zero calories, but it's delicious.
Who cares? Oh my god, delicious. That's so much science in that can.
There is. There's taurine. It's made with bull semen.
Ugh.
So I had that, and then for dinner, yes. It wasn't spaghetti. It was what was it? The boat, not bow ties. Fusilli. You know the ones that look like the swirly things, like pigtails.
Right.
Fusilli with a bunch of other leftover crap that was in the refrigerator.
Leftovers?
Well, I was trying to see. No, my wife made it. I was in my studio playing Hearthstone, and I went to refill my gin and tonic, and my wife was making fusilli because I know that if I don't cook, what she will make is some kind of pasta. Mm-hmm. So she was making that. And I saw her cutting up this leftover rotisserie chicken because over the weekend we had a rotisserie chicken from the store.
Nice.
With baked kale.
Mm.
And so there was some kale left over. There was rotisserie chicken left over. And I always save the carcass of the chicken because I throw it in the crock pot for like 2 days and make broth.
Mm-hmm.
But there was still meat on it. So I was like, well, we'll just cut the chicken off, or whatever, the meat off of it, and throw it in the fusilli. And I opened the refrigerator, and there was still kale left. I was like, well, just fucking throw the kale in there, too. Might as well. And there was also green olives left. Or not green, black olives left from this weekend. So I was like, just throw the freaking black olives in there, too. So she did. And then she threw in some pasta sauce. And then I drenched it in cheddar cheese. And it was delicious. It was delicious.
What a cheat day.
Listen, here's what I figured, because I knew today I had to have a drink. Okay? It's been a very rough few weeks, but especially the last few days.
Okay.
And so I got my tires from the tire place, not a sponsor. And on the way home, I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop and get myself some gin, because I haven't drank in a few weeks. And C2E2 is coming up, and I can't just go to C2E2 without having some prep time.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to – listen, your drinking muscles need to be exercised, right?
Sure.
And I have not exercised them. So I figured I needed to try that out. So I got some gin. Actually, I wanted to get a little thing of Everclear. That's really what I went for. Not to drink it, for something else that I'm doing that I cannot talk about on this podcast. I mean, I could talk about it, but there's children listening. So I was looking for some Everclear for this experiment that I'm doing. And, you know, I went in there. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get gin. So I got gin and I got tonic, and, I started drinking about, I don't know, 5. Yeah. It's been great.
I like it.
I will tell you this. After I had my first one, I was a lot drunker than I am now.
Did your Hearthstone playing become better or worse?
Here's the thing. Because the season is almost over, it ends on Thursday. Because the seasons reset every month. I achieved rank 5 this month, which means I am top 5% in the world. And once you get to that, like you get your chest, your reward chest at whatever level, like whatever highest level you get. So I'm gonna get a rank 5 reward chest. And so I said to myself, you know what, self? Everybody's playing the same bullshit and I'm not playing the same bullshit. Everyone plays Major or Hunter right now, and it's super fucking boring because they're all playing the same exact deck that they find online from somebody. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to play something fun. And so I'm playing this really fun deck that does not win a lot, but it doesn't matter because it steals everybody's cards. And when it works, they just quit because they get super irritated. And sometimes they just lose, and it doesn't matter. The point is, I am not playing the same deck that everybody else is playing. Especially now, because everyone tries to rank up. Like, people try to rank up at the beginning of the month, so then they can just kind of cruise the rest of the month. Or they rank up at the end of the month, so they can get the reward chest before the season's up.
Sure, makes sense.
I got my rank 5. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, a lot of people do that for a few games.
Yeah, a lot of games.
Makes sense.
One day I'm going to do a push to Hearthstone Legend. When that's going to be, I don't know, because it's really, like, it's hard to get to rank 5, but from 5 to Legend, it's, like, really fucking hard.
Mm.
So I'd have to, like, actually sit in the front of the computer for hours at a time, and I'm not doing that.
Gotcha.
But maybe one day.
Have you ever tried Auto Chess? That Dota Auto Chess?
No.
Just curious.
That's a thing? Is it chess? Like actual chess?
It's on a board, but I wouldn't say it's chess. But it's from the creators, or I think it's from two people. It's almost like a fan-made thing, supposedly. I don't know anything about it, other than it's Dota Auto Chess. And I heard a lot of people that used to do Hearthstone, they've switched over. A lot of streamers have now switched over to Auto Chess.
Interesting. So I'm watching a video of this right now. This reminds me of a game that I used to play that I can't remember what it's called. But Julian also used to play it.
Was it Battle Chess?
It was not Battle Chess. It did not have the chess in the name. But it was similar to chess.
Just curious if you or the glorious one, Julian, has ever played Auto Chess.
I'll find out if he's played Auto Chess. Because he plays League of Legends.
Yeah, I know.
So maybe he's played this. The game that we used to play, I can't remember what it's called. It was kind of like chess, except, and you know, it was like D&D inspired, right? So there was like demons and monsters and whatever and magic. But the pieces had different moves than you have on a chessboard. But it would play like chess, where like each turn you move, well, actually you can move multiple units. But it was on this chessboard.
Are you sure you're not just dreaming that you were in the original Star Wars film?
Oh, God.
Watch that chessboard scene.
No. By the way, my least favorite part of Solo was when Chewbacca and what's his name? The guy that's high all the time.
Solo.
No, the guy that's high all the time.
I never watched it.
Woody Harrelson.
Sure.
They're playing that 3D chess game that they play, the hologram chess thing.
Okay.
And he beats Chewie, and I was like, why is this in here? Just fucking move on. This
sounds
movie could be better.
It sounds like it's fan service. Who would have thought?
Yeah. It would have been better if they had less fan service. Speaking of fan service, I have watched a few things, Nick.
Okay, do tell.
I watched the first episode of Doom Patrol.
Oh, nice.
I also watched the first 4 episodes of The Umbrella Academy.
A ball. You're way ahead of me on that one. Way to go.
Did you start it?
I watched the first one.
What'd you think of it?
It's different than the comic book, but I like the style of it. I think visually it's fun.
So it is very different from the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I have not read the comic book until this past week when the show premiered.
Really?
Yeah, it's been on my Comixology Unlimited, because it's on Unlimited, Volume 1. It's been on my Unlimited queue for like a year, but I never read it. And so I watched the first episode, and I was like, huh, this is pretty good. So I went and watched the second one, and then I was like, you know what, maybe I should go back and read the comics. And so I started reading the comics, and I was like, wait a second, this is nothing like the TV show. However, they're both very good.
Yeah, I like Gerard Way's writing.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good. Especially with... you only watched the first episode. Dang. Spoilers! When number 5 comes back... Was that in the first episode or is that the second one?
No, that was the first one.
It was, okay. So when number 5 comes back, there's some crazy shit that happens. And they kind of tease it in the first episode, but once mm-hmm. you get, like, on with the series, you get a lot more of that. And the donut shop is kind of a recurring thing for the next few episodes. Very good show! I gotta say, I was very impressed. If I had to rank Doom Patrol versus Umbrella Academy, I would put Umbrella Academy up top.
Yeah, but isn't that tough to say? Because Doom Patrol only had, what, one or two episodes out so far?
Yeah, the second episode came out this past Friday. I haven't seen it yet. But the first episode was really good. It was really good. There was too much setup. I think here's the problem, Nick. When you turn something that I'm familiar with into a movie or TV show, I kind of don't want, like, the origin story. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you don't need any of the exposition because you've already read umpteen of the comic books.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The general public might need that.
Sure, I get it. And I guarantee you 90% of people have never read Doom Patrol.
I guarantee you 60% of the people who have DC Universe have probably read or are familiar with Doom Patrol.
I don't know, man. That seems kind of high. I'll be honest.
I think there's plenty of... Who else is buying DC Universe other than Uber comic fans? Come on.
That's true. It's like, who is buying Walmart DC Giants aside from comic fans?
Agreed.
Yes.
Yeah, no parent is going, especially where those comic books are located, no parent is going in that aisle and like, oh, here's a comic book. I'm going to buy this for Junior. If Junior's in that aisle, Junior wants Yu-Gi-Oh cards. That's what they want.
Yu-Gi-Oh cards? Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I just named off some dumb card. Oh, sorry, Pokemon. How about that?
That's Pokemon. Still a thing. Sure. Yeah. I know that's a thing. Yeah, you're probably right.
I was pissed going back to Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
I started to watch it with the lovely wife, and then I just told her, I only want to watch one because I want to talk to Martin about it. And we watched one, and then after we got done, I'm like, all right, let's go on. Let's watch something else. And we watched something else. But she was like, well, don't watch any more of those without me. And it's like, dang it. Now I'm on somebody else's.
Oh. Dang. Wait, so but she's watching it with you?
But she actually wants to watch it. Yeah, wow. we haven't gone past the first one, which is fine. Now that she wants to watch it, I'll happily wait.
So I did not realize that Ellen Page was in it, which she is. She's a main character.
For sure.
And I like Ellen Page, so yep. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I liked it a lot.
Except they introduce a love interest in episode, like, 3,
mm-hmm.
and it's a guy.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's because I know that Ellen Page is a lesbian or not,
mm-hmm.
but it's very awkward, the relationship.
She's a good actor.
No, I mean, like, it's awkward because I'm like, she doesn't like dudes.
You don't need to bring your social bias into this.
All right, when you watch that, no, it's not social bias. When you watch this relationship, and it, you know what it could be? She is socially awkward in the show.
She is.
Right? Because she was not part of the Umbrella Academy.
Yep.
Because her dad didn't think she was good enough because she didn't have any powers.
Mm-hmm.
But when they introduce his love interest, I'm like, they could have just made it a chick. But you don't feel the chemistry. But I think a lot of it may have to do with the fact that she doesn't have any experience with connecting with people in the real world anyway.
There you go.
Not it's Ellen Page, but
it's
the character.
Yes, it's character driven.
Yeah, she is. She's a fantastic actress. I watched one of her movies recently. I think it's called Into the Forest. Is that right? Maybe I may have made that up. Let me look this up. Into the Forest movie. Is this the right? Yes, it is. Into the Forest. It's kind of post-apocalyptic. It's Ellen Page and Evan Rachel Wood from Westworld.
Okay. Yeah.
They're sisters, and the world just, like, loses power, and it's them two and their dad. Their mom's dead. Them two and their dad. I think it's in Australia, maybe? And they're living in their home, that's in the middle of the woods and kind of dealing with the world losing power. And they're kind of separated from the whole thing because they live in the middle of the woods, but they have like a really nice house. It's not like they're just in a cabin. They're in a really nice house. And, you know, there's like people that come in and try to take advantage of them. Rachel Evan Wood's character gets raped and has a baby. And that's kind of key to the plot of the movie towards the end. But it was pretty good. The weird thing was Ellen Page plays like a 16-year-old. And this is like a 3-year-old movie. And she's like 40.
Weird. Yeah, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, she can skew young, but I don't know about 16 or 18.
Well, dude, it's like, remember watching like Saved by the Bell, right? Like all those kids were in high school. Oh, well, I remember watching Saved by the Bell.
All right, good.
And,
good for
it. I mean, this is like anything, like 90210. Like those kids were like 35.
Yeah, of course. Welcome to television, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. But then you're like, when you get to high school, you're like, wait a second, like, why don't people look like they do on TV?
Or why don't they just adjust? Once you get Ellen Page and Wood, why don't you just adjust the script that all of a sudden they're 26 and 28? Ah, now that makes more sense. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stupid.
The boyfriend from Handmaid's Tale is in this too. Not the boyfriend. Mm. The guy that she sleeps with. The chauffeur in Handmaid's Tale. Have you not seen Handmaid's Tale yet?
Nope.
Jesus Christ, Nicholas Wentmore.
Buddy, I don't. Well, okay. I'm going to say this because I always say it, but I'm going to put a caveat in it because it doesn't apply anymore. Buddy, I don't have time for that. You think I have time to watch all these series?
Hey, look, I know the feeling.
I know you do.
I know the feeling. Yeah, Into the Forest. Anyway, so Ellen Page is great. The whole cast is really good. Really, really good.
Is this one of those new watches that you were talking about? You had a list of new watches that you're going to go through.
Man, I don't keep track of this stuff. I got to write it down because I forget.
Okay.
So yeah, Umbrella Academy though. Fantastic. Well yeah. Worth watching.
Definitely.
Well worth watching.
I went to watch the first episode of Deadly Class, and that was nowhere really to be found. Good. So yeah, I had to ixnay on the ombre on that one.
Deadly Class, you can watch the first, I want to say, 2 episodes on sci-fi.com.
Okay. I just, you know me, I don't want to sit there and watch it on my laptop.
No,
so
I got
a big, well, not a gigantic TV screen, but a much larger than my laptop screen, so
yeah I hear you.
Yeah,
Deadly Class is really good though. Really
I've
really
heard
good.
I watched both with the wife. I watched both of those trailers for Umbrella Academy and Deadly Class, figuring they're sort of similar. She guess, and she was ready to go up and take a bath at night, and then she comes down afterwards, and I figured, well, she's up there for a half hour, I could pump out one of these, and then when she comes back, she might want to watch the other one.
Mm.
And we watch both trailers, and I think the trailers are sort of similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Being very action-packy and not a lot of character moments, which I think Umbrella Academy probably has more character moments, or at least for me, better character moments. Because it's sort of like Hellboy. You know, it's a little quirky.
Mm-hmm.
But watching the trailers, Elizabeth was like, yeah, that Deadly Class, feel free to watch that without me. Because all it was
wow,
like hyper action. There was nothing that like showed any character.
Yeah. Now that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's like when whenever I watch a trailer for a new, what's that thing? The Mark Miller stuff.
Yeah, like the Millerverse stuff?
Yeah, what's that thing that he does? Like Kingsman. Kingsman, that's it.
Sure.
When I watched the trailers for those, I'm like, yeah, whatever. And yeah, the movies are fun.
But the trailers also don't show all of the funny stuff and all of the like downbeat stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's not a barrage of action 24/7. So
that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched Golden Circle about 3 weeks ago.
Ago. How was that?
It's not good. But It's one of those things where, like, it doesn't take itself seriously, right?
But that's what should make it all right. Well, and isn't there Jeff Bridges in it too?
Yes, and the villain is, oh man, the lady from Children of Men. What's her name?
Boy, you are striking it. Ooga.
No, she isn't Children of Men. What's her name? The redhead.
Barbara Streisand.
Julianne Moore.
Oh, I like her.
Hello. She's the villain in Kingsman: A Golden Circle.
Okay.
And she's fucking hilarious.
I believe you.
She's the best part of that movie. The movie is not good.
Okay.
Anyways. Wait, Charlie Hunnam was in Children of Men? What's happening right now? What? When did that happen? I don't remember. That's not true. Is that true?
I don't recall it. I haven't watched it since the first time I watched it on DVD.
I watched Children of Men like 2 months ago. That can't be right.
You should know more than I.
No, he is not in that movie. Damn it, I'm going to have to watch it again now. he's got a new movie coming out that looks pretty good with Ben Affleck and the Lando Calrissian. Now, what's his name? The guy from the new Star Wars, Poe Dameron. What's his name?
Glover?
No, not Glover. Poe Dameron. The guy. He was in that book that I read that was good, then the movie sucked.
It wasn't Donald Glover?
Oscar Isaac.
Oh, okay, Oscar Isaac. I do not follow his career, sorry.
Oscar Isaac, Ben Affleck, Charlie Hunnam, and somebody else.
Okay.
It's a Netflix original movie.
And it comes out on Netflix and in theaters at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, that trailer looked really good.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, I guess retired, like Special Forces unit.
Yeah.
And they get together to steal money from a drug dealer and shit goes wrong.
Yeah, I'm down for that. I saw that and I was like, that's a Tom Wetmore film. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
What else you watch?
I watch all kinds of things. Whether I remember them or not is a different story. Okay.
I watched the Netflix original documentary Abducted in Plain Sight.
Oh.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
That was the documentary that I told you about a couple weeks ago where I read the description. I got an email from Netflix saying, you'll like this documentary. Get on it. And I read the description on it and it was like a man befriends a man and his family befriends another family until the day that he abducts their daughter.
Mm.
And then I went to Netflix. And I'm like, oh, that sounds all right. Okay, I like, you know, true crime documentary type stories. All right, sign me up. And I went into Netflix. And when I clicked on it before the ad to my queue, I read the documentary description there. And the documentary description there was a man and his family. Befriends another family until he abducts their daughter. And then it was ... twice.
Mm.
And that's when I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Twice? Who would ever let this idiot next to their daughter after he abducts her once?
Mm.
And sure enough, you want a roller coaster of true crime drama. This is Welcome to Abducted in Plain Sight. Because it is fucked up.
Really?
Oh, God. Okay, can I tell you a spoiler? Everyone that's listening, can you zip ahead 2 minutes? Because this spoiler should not be told. But I want you to know it because it will be right up your paranoid alley.
Mm.
He puts, and this is like in the 80s, he puts a tape recording device that has a speaker attached to it. He abducts her, puts her in an RV, and then he distorts his voice and starts talking to the girl who's 13, 12, starts talking to the girl in this like modified squeaky voice and starts weaving a tale of you have been abducted. Your mother is an alien. Your father does not know that she's an alien. You are half alien and you must repopulate and have a child before you're 16.
Whoa.
and he brainwashed her that if this doesn't happen, the world is going to die. If this doesn't happen, your sister, who is a half alien, and she doesn't know it yet because the girl that was abducted, she didn't know that she was half alien either. Mm-hmm. But your other sister will be taken away by these aliens, and your mother will be taken away by these aliens, and you can't tell anyone about this, or you will be taken away by these aliens. And this went on for like 3 years.
Jeez.
It was fucked up. But as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh my God, this is insane. And they talk, and feel free, come back, listeners. But they go into such great detail, and they have everybody on camera talking, including the girl who was abducted twice. The only person they didn't talk to was the abductor, but they have him on, like, the FBI, like, taped all of their phone conversations. It was just messed up, dude. I was like, oh my God, this is effing crazy. And the way, like, the mother and father talk about it is so disassociated to reality. Like, they're talking about it like it was a book they read,
huh,
and not their child. It was so messed up.
Wait, so this is a documentary?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And they talk to the entire family, her sisters and the mother and father.
Huh.
It is messed up. And shockingly, it is a Netflix exclusive. And another shocking thing about that is it's not a 6-part documentary. It's an hour and a half. You're in, you're out.
Nice. I like
that. Unlike the regular Netflix documentary, that's a 4-parter. That 25% of it, you don't really need to watch.
Huh.
But it's frightening. As soon as you hear that spoiler part, holy mother of Christ. I'm like, I really don't want to ruin that for you, but I know you would find it fascinating that, oh my God, this kid was completely shanghaied by this story that is so far-fetched, but in a kid's imagination, they could see that. Sure.
Well, since you are talking about really weird shit, let me tell you about some weird shit.
Bring it.
So this is not a documentary or anything. But okay. So last night I get home, and my wife and Reagan are watching TV. I don't remember what they're watching. And my wife's like, play – what did she say? I don't know. Play like the video with something or other. I can't remember what it was. And so Reagan plays. They're watching YouTube videos, okay? But these are like snippets of like 60 Minute style shows.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
like a Dateline?
Yeah, but like there was, matter of fact, one of them was a 60 Minutes from Australia.
Oh, neat. Okay.
It was about, oh God, I can't remember what it was called, like the girl something. But it was about a girl in Australia that's got like the most severe case of Tourette's in the world.
Ooh.
And I haven't talked about this. So Reagan's got Tourette's. It's very it's very mild.
Sure, sure.
So she doesn't like constantly shout profanities or anything like that. She's just got one tick, and her tick is she punches herself in the chest.
Gotcha.
And it's not all the time. It's just once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they're watching this thing about the worst case of Tourette's in the world, and this poor girl, she was like 16. Like, her parents are walking her to the interview, right? Like, one holding her in one hand, one on the other. And, like, she can't even, like, walk across the lawn to get to the interview because she's, like, constantly fidgeting and, like, throwing herself on the floor. And then, like, they're doing the interview, and, like, her mom has to hold her down while they're doing the interview. And even then, like, she still, like, punches her mom in the face a couple times. Like spits on her and apologizes. Anyways, so they go through this whole interview with her, and then eventually you get like the resolution to it. There was some new surgery that they came up with where they implant electrodes in some part of the brain to counteract the effects of Tourette's.
Wow.
And so then they do an interview after the surgery.
How old was this?
It could show. I don't know how old it was. I mean, it looked like it was in HD, so my assumption is no more than a couple years old.
Oh, okay.
If not more recent. And then they interviewed her after the surgery, and like she was totally normal. Like she still had a couple of tics where like she would tap herself in the stomach.
Yeah, just less extreme.
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, she's not like punching people or whatever. Wow. They did like a tour of her house, and like the house was a fucking disaster. I have never seen anything like this. There were just like holes on every single wall. The bathroom was like it was ready to be demolished. Like there was literally like 2 foot wide chunks that she had like kicked through the tile in the bathroom.
Sure.
Like the toilet was fucking destroyed. Like everything in the bathroom was the worst place in the house.
Jeez.
But literally the whole house just had fucking punch holes everywhere.
Wow.
And yeah, so then the surgery, and she was fine.
Wow.
So then my wife's like, play the one, with the blind lady. And I was like, what the fuck? And Reagan's like, oh yeah, like somehow she knew what this was. Cause like, I guess like they've seen these videos before.
Yeah.
So I learned about a crazy fucking disorder that I have never heard in my life.
Mm.
Have you ever heard of body integrity identity disorder?
No.
All right. This is the craziest shit I have heard of in my life. And if you have this, I apologize. I hope your dreams come true. Basically, what body integrity identity disorder is you feel like the way your body is shaped is not the way you are meant to be. Okay. Oh, I know how this one came up because my wife had seen one. It was like, oh God, my boyfriend used to be my girlfriend, something like that. And it was about this lesbian couple, and one of the girls was going through sex change. So she was taking hormones and stuff, right? And so it was an interview with them. And then the suggested one was about this blind lady. So they put that one on. And this is where the body integrity identity sort of thing came up. So this lady, since she was 6 years, she was in her 40s, okay? Since she was 6 years old, she felt like she wasn't born correctly. She felt like she should have been born blind, okay? This is why it was one of the recommended videos. Because, you know, like, people who want to go through, like, sex change operations or whatever feel like they weren't born into the correct gender, right?
Sure.
So this lady wanted to become a man, and so she was doing the testosterone, whatever. She was getting ready to do the breast removal surgery. I don't know if she was going to do the actual sex change operation or not. But like this couple had been together for like years. They had just gotten married or whatever. And so now we get to body integrity identity disorder. So this woman, since she was six, felt like she should have been blind. She was not blind, but she felt like she should have been blind. And so in her adulthood, after consulting a psychiatrist, she and the psychiatrist, or maybe psychologist, one of the two, agreed to go through a process to make her blind because she felt like she was not herself if she was not blind. And so she literally poured drain cleaner into her eyes, so that she would be blind.
How would a doctor say, yes, this is how you have to go blind? Do that.
Well, I don't know if they interviewed her psychologist, but they interviewed a psychologist who discussed – I think he's the one that came up with the term body integrity identity disorder. How like it's kind of ethically dubious, right? Because doctors are supposed to help people. But like technically if people that have this disorder, the way to help them is to help them realize their true body image, right? So if this woman wants to be blind – then it's the doctor's responsibility to help her be blind. Anyway, so she poured drain cleaner in her eyes, and she described the experience.
Oh,
and
my God.
After she did this, the psychologist that was there with her, because the shrink was there with her, called 911, and so they came in, took her to the hospital. They managed to restore her sight, and she talked about how upset she was that she was not going to be able to be blind. But eventually, because of the drain cleaner, like within a few months, like she started losing vision, and then eventually she went completely blind. And she talks about like how her family didn't talk to her anymore because of this whole situation, and all kinds of things. But like she was super happy that now she was the way she felt like she should be. And she was blind. And her eyes looked fucking terrible. Like, it looked like they were constantly watering. Or like, I don't know about pus. But like, I don't know, man. I don't know. They look weird.
Holy Christ.
They look weird. It looked like her eyes were still melting from the drain cleaner, like, whatever, 10 years later. It looked awful. But she was super happy, because now she was the way she felt she should be.
I have no problem anyone doing whatever the hell they want to do to themselves, but it's scary that she couldn't donate her eyes.
Well, and that's what I was thinking, right? Because so after we watched that one, the one recommended was about this guy that felt like he should only have one leg.
What the hell?
Yeah. So that was his BIID. He felt like he should have one leg. And so they interviewed like his best friend, and like the issues that he had, because obviously like he can't just cut off his leg. I mean, I guess he could somehow, but, like he tried to get surgery done through this like shady doctor, and they charged, I don't know if it was a doctor, maybe it was just like one of these shady things on the side. And they charged him like 20 grand or something to do it. And then they never did it. And so they interview his friend, like, if there was a legal way for me to do this. But obviously, like, no surgeon wants to do the procedure, right? Like, what doctor would want to just literally cut somebody's legs off just because they want to?
This, like I said, hey, if that's what somebody wants to do, feel free to do it. I don't care. But mother effer, donate the leg to somebody who could use, or the eyes to somebody who could possibly use them.
Right?
Oh my God.
Well, and so, and it, this guy was actually really sad, more sad than the girl. Cause like he, what did he do? I think he tried to like drive into a train or something.
Jesus.
Like he tried to commit suicide a couple of times to try to like get his leg cut off, and it didn't work. And so what he literally does, Nick, he gets home from work, he changes into something comfortable, he folds his leg, and then puts like, he bandages his leg all the way up, and then puts like a stocking on it, and then he puts his pants back on. So it looks like he's missing half his leg. And he just like, that's how he spends the rest of his night at home, like walking around, doing dishes, like watching TV, going to the bathroom, whatever, but like with half a leg, quote unquote, missing, even though it's not. He just like has it folded in his pants.
Yeah, that's. You went down a weird rabbit hole, my friend.
Hey, you know, that's what I'm here for, my friend.
Yep.
Which, of course, reminded me of a story of my junior year in high school when we had a class trip to the museum. Was it the Met? Is it the Metropolitan Museum of Art? I think that's what it's called. We went to the Met in New York. It's a museum of art. So there's like modern art. It's awesome. I love modern art. So we went there. Oh, you know what? No, it wasn't at that one. It was at the Museum of Natural History. That's what it was.
Yeah, that makes more sense because I think I know where this is going.
We went to the museum. I may have told the story before.
No, so, you haven't.
Because I had to tell Reagan about the story after we watched about this guy with one leg. Because we went on a school trip, my junior year in high school, to the Museum of Natural History. And we got in there and they kind of left us alone. They're like, we want you to visit these exhibits because, you know, this is going to be discussed in class. You're going to have a paper on this. But, you know, you guys break into groups. You can discuss amongst yourselves. You're on your own. And I mean, obviously, like, there were chaperones there, right? So if you had to find somebody, you can go find them. But basically, it's like, break up into groups, go see what you need to see, and then we'll meet back here at, like, whatever, 4 o'clock. So some buddies of mine got together, and we started watching exhibits. And then my buddy, name shall be withheld for legal purposes, said, you know, it'd be really funny if we got a wheelchair, and we could just, like, wheelchair each other around.
Mm.
So, of course, you can't just do that. They're not going to just give you a wheelchair. I mean, now maybe you could. But back then, you couldn't just be like, hey, we need a wheelchair. So he did what this guy did on this fucking documentary. He folded his leg up because he used to wear JNCOs. You remember JNCOs? The really big bag pants? He used to wear JNCOs. So he put his leg up so that it looked like he was missing half a leg. And so we asked for a wheelchair, and they gave us a wheelchair. So we kind of rode him around with his leg kind of quote unquote half missing. And then I did it, and we go through exhibits and do it that way with somebody, you know, pushing me. And, and then we got to one point where we thought, like, nobody's catching us. This is boring. So let's up the ante.
Oh no.
So we'd be in a room with like multiple exhibits. Okay. And so we'd go and see one with one person there, and we kind of go around the exhibit, and then we'd switch so somebody else would get in the chair and pretend like half their leg was missing, and we'd go to the next part of the exhibit. And so mm-hmm. like within the same exhibit at different parts of the room, there would be like different people in this freaking wheelchair missing half a leg. And we thought it was hilarious because we wanted to get caught apparently. But the Museum of Natural History did not think it was so funny. And and we nearly got kicked out of the museum. But we did it because we were on a class trip. And it was part of our grade.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And Reagan thought that was the greatest story ever.
I thought you were going to say that you went to go see that human body or that animal exhibit that had the entire body like laser cut into small little strips.
I've seen that.
That's where I thought you were going with that story.
Oh. Yep. I have seen that. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's really eye-opening.
Yep. Yep. It's really awesome. But, that was my story. Reagan loved that. Reagan and I have a new thing where we piss my wife off on purpose.
Uh-oh.
It's hilarious.
Do you put figs down on her pillow?
I don't want to say piss off, but like irritate her. Maybe that's a better better term.
Sure.
So our most favorite thing right now is to do it with Lil Pump videos. You know who Lil Pump is?
No.
All right. Lil Pump is a rapper from Florida. He is garbage. He is absolutely horrendous.
Okay.
I listen to it because I think it's funny how terrible he is.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan actually enjoys the music, but also understands how bad he is.
Sure.
So, like, we'll put videos on TV when my wife's in the room and, like, sing along to the lyrics or dance to it, and my wife gets super irritated. So that's our new thing.
It's an ironic like.
Yes. Yes. We get my wife upset on purpose because it's funny.
That poor wife of yours. Oh, horrible.
Yes. Poor wife.
Little Pump.
Lil Pump.
Lol.
Come on. Don't you know rappers can't spell?
Lol.
Lil Pump.
Sure.
So that's one thing I'd like to do. I don't want to talk about this right now, but I quit smoking for real this time.
Oh.
I didn't want to talk about this on social, but I figured I could bring it up on here because I like people to listen to this show. So I tried to quit smoking at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
When I started doing my keto stuff. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work very well. It lasted like 2 days.
To be fair, you had a lot going on.
Well, sure. But I'm into my third week now of not smoking.
Good. Look at you.
And it's going very well. So I figured I would bring this up on the show and say, you can't do it, kids. Don't let people tell you can't.
Yeah.
You can do it. You can do it.
You can do it.
Mm-hmm. But I am vaping. But you know what?
Vaping?
Well, yeah.
God, gross.
Well, not like in like one of those giant things that people suck on. I got one of those like disposable ones.
How many ohms are you cooking?
How many ohms? I don't know. The card, it's 5 milligrams, and it lasts me like 4 days.
You pillowy cotton clouds?
Nah, dude.
Dude, what are you vaping? Cotton candy?
It's Altos. Oh, no, menthol. Menthol.
Altos?
Yeah.
Altoids?
No, Alto.
Those mints?
No, Alto. That's the brand name. Not sponsored, and we will not accept your sponsorship.
But it's not it's not like juicy cherry flavored?
No, I tried the berry flavor last week, and it was fine.
Grape Ape?
But I went back to menthol. It's good, man. Like, you know, so I'm doing 5 milligrams. It lasts me about 3 or 4 days. When, like, a pack of cigarettes is, like, 20-something milligrams. So I'm doing good.
So you're part of the new science.
Well, you know I like to experiment.
Yes, of course.
I like to experiment.
Just the science is out on it.
Mm-hmm. The science is out.
Oh, yeah.
I would say, It definitely does have less chemicals than a cigarette.
Well, that's just you hazarding a guess.
Well, that's true. That's very true. I mean, obviously it's got nicotine in it.
Sure.
But I think it's nicotine and some kind of like glycol, like some kind of alcohol in it. That's what you're vaping. But it's mostly water vapor. The thing
and
is,
some Gatorade.
And some Gatorade.
Yeah, just throwing that.
Yeah, the science is weird because, I mean, technically you're inhaling vapor into your lungs. So
sure.
Getting water in your lungs is probably not the best thing.
No.
But
is smoke in your lungs any better?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Considering how many carcinogens are in a cigarette, my assumption is that it's better, probably bad in a different way.
But now you look like one of those futuristic villains in comics.
Yeah, I got to charge up my cigarette, you know?
Yeah. From our childhood. Like, what's that weird mechanical cigarette he's smoking? Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. But he's got to be evil with that long mustache of his.
There you go. But my goal is to eventually not use this. So I figure if I'm doing like 5 to 10 mils a week, whereas before, I mean, if I smoked a pack a day. So that's like 140 mils a week.
Yeah, but that was to get that sweet podcasting voice, so.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's all worth it.
So I apologize that I will not have that sweet podcasting voice anymore.
Oh, it's yours now at this point.
But you know what?
Paid enough for it.
I don't give two shits.
Of course, you're part of Freddy.
Actually, I looked up the effects of quitting smoking, and you counteract pretty quickly. I mean, like, your lungs don't regenerate for like 7 years. But outside of that, they do. You know, part of the reason I did this, by the way, is when I pulled my back and I went to the hospital because my wife thought I had kidney stones and the hospital. Did I tell this story?
I knew you went into the hospital about kidney stones. Okay. Yeah.
So I had this massive pain in my back, like right below my ribs. And I texted my wife and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Well, it fucking hurts, but like, I think I'm fine." And I went through the whole day at work that way, and it just kept getting worse. So I got a lidocaine patch, and I put it on my back, and it didn't make it better. It made it fucking worse. So I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe it's not back pain. So I tell my wife this. She's like, well, it sounds like maybe kidney stones.
Ooh.
And I said, well, fuck, I hope not. I said, I can't have kidney stones because – I'm a good boy, and I take magnesium and potassium every single day because potassium breaks down kidney stones. And I do it because I'm doing keto, and so, you know, if you're doing high protein, high fat, you can get kidney stones. But I take so much potassium that there's no way. So I said, there's no way. I fucking take this shit every day. And she's like, okay, well, just see how it goes. Dude, by like 5 o'clock, I could barely like move.
Sheesh.
When
was this?
3 weeks ago? 2 or 3 weeks
ago?
Yeah. So I could barely move. And I texted my wife. I was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I was like, I need you to take me to the hospital. And when I said that, my wife knew that it was serious because here's a couple things that Martin Ferretti does not do. Number one is complain about pain. I don't even take pain meds. Like if my head hurts, I just fucking go take a nap.
Right.
Okay. If something hurts, I just hold it up and hope it quits hurting. I don't take medication of any sort. I'm in the camp and have been since probably middle school. Mind over matter. If something hurts, it's because you fuck something up and you can fix it. And you can believe that you can fix it. That's how you fix it.
You and Steve Jobs.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like having to do with the, what's that called?
Flat earthers?
No, yeah, not flat. Oh, it's funny. I asked my wife if she was a flat earther last night.
Now that would piss her off.
Well, there's a documentary on Netflix now about flat earthers.
Yeah, I know.
And
I saw it.
I was flipping through it, and my wife is sitting there after we watch all these weird ass body integrity videos, and I saw it on there, and I was like, "Hey, babe, you're not a flat earther, are you?" And she's like, "Hell no." I said, "Okay, good." So, anyways.
Did you really think she was?
No, I knew she wasn't.
Oh, thank God.
No, I knew she wasn't. What's that thing? The placebo effect. There you go. You know, that's how they test a lot of these drugs, right? When they're making new drugs, is how much better they do over a placebo. Placebo is just sugar and water, basically. And the placebo effect is very fucking real, right? Like, this is not a made-up thing. If you truly believe that something will work, whether it's garbage or actual medicine, the power of the mind actually does go a long way into making something work. And so I fully believe that, okay? And it doesn't work for, it doesn't work for everything. I understand that. But I do believe it works for a large chunk of ailments. And so when I said I need to go to the fucking hospital, my wife's like, holy shit, are you serious? You don't even fucking take an aspirin when you're dying. And I said, yeah, I know. I don't feel good at all. I can't fucking move. So she leaves work. She comes, picks me up from work. We go to the hospital. We get to the ER and they take my information down and she's like, tell me your symptoms. And I told her and she says, you have kidney stones. And I said, listen, I just told my wife I don't have kidney stones. I think I just pulled my back. And she's like, no, you have the exact symptoms for kidney stones. I said, fine, whatever. So I fill out the little thing, sign it, go sit down. The nurse calls me in for a prelim. I go in there, takes my weight, my height, asks me questions. And I tell him the same thing I told the other lady. And he's like, oh, sounds to me like you have kidney stones. And I said, dude, I cannot have kidney stones. I take like 5 grams of potassium every single day. There's no way I have kidney stones. He's like, I don't know what to tell you, but you have classic symptoms of kidney stones. He's like, anytime a guy comes in here about your age complaining with the same symptoms you have, it's always kidney stones. I said, all right, I don't have kidney stones, but if you want to check for kidney stones, check for kidney stones. He's like, okay. He's like, here's some other stuff. He's like, I'm going to get you straight away into the thing. Apparently, like, kidney stones is a serious thing.
So, yeah, like, it is.
They didn't even put me back in the room or in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
He put me in some other room. He's like, I'm going to get somebody to come in and pick you up and take you upstairs. And I was like, well, dude, I got to pee because I really had to pee. And that's the other thing. I couldn't have kidney stones because I pee every fucking 5 minutes. And it's always clear. And that's one thing he asked me. He's like, how's your pee? I said, my pee's fine. It's like, I pee, like, once an hour. I drink like 3 gallons of water a day, which I do. I drink a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always clear. There's no blood or it's not cloudy or anything like that. He's like, well,
sure.
I think you have kidney stones. We'll do some testing. So the nurse comes down, takes me upstairs. So we go upstairs and get in the room. And immediately the nurse comes in, wants to do a blood test. So I warn them, good luck getting my blood. Because I donate blood twice a year to the blood connection, because I'm O positive, and O positive is very popular. So I always donate.
Yep.
And so she's getting ready to take my blood, can't find my vein. I said, look, nobody can ever find my veins. I said, the best thing for you to do, she's like, I'll hold it down below me for about 5 minutes. You can check it. I'll do my left arm. It's always the left arm. She's like, okay. So we do this. She goes, she tries to find the vein. She's like, I have been doing this for 35 years, and I have never been able to find a vein. I cannot find your vein.
Wow.
Well, this is true. Like, every single fucking person always tells me the same thing. I was traumatized as a kid. I had to get some blood work done. And they did it on my right arm. They could not find my vein. I had so many fucking puncture holes. I looked like a heroin addict when I was like, I was like 6 or 7 when this happened. I had this just giant bruise on my arm. From mm-hmm. like halfway up my forearm, like up to my bicep. It was just a giant bruise.
Because
they kept on trying to find my veins and poking and prodding, couldn't get it. Eventually I got over it. But anyway, so she can't find my vein. She's like, I've been doing this for fucking 30 something years. I said, I'm sorry. I was like, you can try my hand. So she's looking for the veins in my hand. And like, you can see the veins, but she can't get a good vein to just pop in there and get blood. So she's like, I think I'm just going to quit being a nurse. I can't find your fucking veins. She just fucking leaves all pissed off. And I'm like, well, shit, sorry. So this other girl comes in. She's like 12, okay? And she's a nurse at the whatever the blood place is called, Flow something maybe. Anyway, so she comes in there, and I look at my wife, and I was like, how is this girl going to take my blood if this old woman that's been nursing for 100 years can't take my blood? Anyways, she could not find it in either arm either. She did eventually find it in my hand, and it was extremely slow. That's the other thing. My blood is very slow to come out.
Mm.
Whenever I go donate, they always tell me, like, drink like a gallon of water before you come here. And I used to do that, and it doesn't work. So what I do now before I go donate blood is I drink a couple shots of gin, and that helps the blood get flowing. Anyway, so she ends up getting some blood. And a few minutes later, another nurse comes in and wants to get a CT scan done. So we go in there, and it was my first CT scan ever.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was the awesomest experience in the world. I told her I wanted to get like five more scans done because it was awesome. So I sat down on the little bed thing, and I had to pull my pants down, but, you know, I had a towel over me. And they had this awesome, like, grasslands thing. It wasn't like it was kind of a painting, but it was like backlit on the ceiling, except it was upside down. And I told her that afterwards. I was like, this would have been awesome if that thing wasn't upside down. She's like, well, some people have to go in head first and some people go in feet first. You had to go in feet first. That's why it was upside down. Yeah. Anyways, so she wanted my wife to wait outside. And my wife's like, but I want to see. Because my wife had never seen a CT either. So the lady let her go in the little room with her so she could watch the CT and see the scans on the screen.
Yeah.
By the way, CT scans, you were talking about this earlier about the slicing of the body thing. Like, that's kind of what it looks like. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
CT scans are super cool. So, I get my CT scan. I start going in, right? So the machine's like, breathe in. And so I'm going in and I'm breathing. And it's like, hold your breath. So I hold my breath and it's like spinning the little magnets and you come out. It's like, okay, breathe out. And, I was like, damn computer, you're really fucking bossy.
So you sound like my Alexa.
So this happens like three or four times. We come out and then my wife tells me how cool it was that she saw all my insides.
Did you ask her if you're a superhero?
Well, I asked her, I was like, does everything look like normal? Like everything's where it's supposed to be. She's like, yeah, everything looks fine. And she's like, I asked the nurse and the nurse is like, everything looks pretty normal to me. So, so we go back in the room and then we have to wait. And finally we get the blood results and, the guy comes, it was hilarious. So the doctor comes in. He had asked me questions when I first got there and I told him I was doing keto. So when he comes into the room, the first thing he says is, great news. He's like, your blood work came back. You're in ketosis. And I said, well, yeah, I know that. He's like, and according to your blood book, you don't have anything. He's like, I'm still looking at your CT scans, but your blood work looks really good. So he went, checked the CT scans, comes back. He's like, okay, I checked it. Like, you don't have kidney stones. I said, well, yeah, I fucking told everybody in here already that. And he's like, I'm going to send the head nurse in, and he'll go over your results with you. But he's like, you're good to go. He said he gave me, oh, God, not Norco's, some kind of – maybe it was Norco's. Some kind of painkiller and a muscle relaxant and something else. And he's like, if you need anything else, just let me know. You can, you know, come back or whatever. So the nurse comes in.
No latent mutant ability
on
that scan?
No mutant abilities.
You didn't unlock any certain gene?
Well, I mean, I already unlocked my extreme genius previously. So, you know, there's no more abilities. So the head nurse comes in and he's going, he pulled up my results and he's going through the whole thing. And, he's like, your blood was great. He's like, there were a couple kind of weird things. He's like, oh God, I can't remember what the ketone body things is. He's like, your whatever thing is kind of off. It's really high. And I'm like, yeah, bro. Like, did you not talk to the doctor? I'm doing keto. It's going to be really high. He's like, your carbon dioxide's kind of high in your blood and something else. I can't remember. And what was it? Carbon dioxide's really high and something else. And I was like, well, that's really fucking weird. That doesn't make any sense. But see, this is why it's good to be informed. So I get home and I'm like, so he told me these two things are not quite – like they weren't super off, but they're kind of off.
Sure.
And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense because I do these things – in my daily eating habits and my whatever exercise routine. So I shouldn't have those things. But then I look it up and guess what the culprit is? Motherfucking smoking.
Oh.
So I said to myself, self, you're just going to quit smoking. And that's why I decided to quit smoking.
Huh. So it wasn't a back thing?
Well, yeah. So it was a pulled muscle in my back.
Oh, okay.
It was not kidney stones, which, of course, I knew, but they had to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those CAT scans aren't free, that's for sure.
Well, my insurance will pay for them, so whatever.
Yeah. It's just, they're not good for you either, so they are cool.
They are cool.
Yeah.
Yes, they're not good for you.
I did one.
CAT scan or a CT scan?
Was it a CT scan or a CAT scan? I can't recall. But I have my right shoulder. When I was young, probably, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, we were playing hide and go seek. Mm. Or no, we were playing tag. I'm sorry, tag. And I climbed up in this tree and would chase me up into a tree to tag me. And sure enough, the neighbor kid chased me up into a tree to tag me. And I kept like trying to avoid him. And by doing that, I wasn't really watching, fell out of the tree, landed directly on my shoulder and broke my shoulder.
Ooh.
Ever since then, my right shoulder, my range of motion's pretty limited.
Sure.
And it will pop out of its socket. I can do it right now just by lifting up my arm a certain way. And it doesn't even it doesn't matter the force that I'm doing it with. I've done it where I reached up for a towel after a shower and popped it right out.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter like the angle. It matters like if you hyperextend it a little bit. It's really weird. And it's extremely painful to like pop it back in as well. Mm, so
sounds like it.
And you will hear the screech of agony. Like if I want the new Lenox Police Department to show up, have my shoulder pop out. Somebody will call because I'm screaming up bloody murder. Well, when I had this scan done, the doctor to see not the range of motion because you have to be completely still,
right.
But they had me like, not lay on it, but it's sort of like when you put your arm above your head to like go to sleep, to lay on your arm at night. Well, they had me in that position, but my arm on my side, but like going up, and then they like pushed this thing to add pressure so I wouldn't move it. Mm. Holy Christ, did it feel like it was on the verge of popping out. I could feel like the bulb of my arm coming out of like the female portion of my shoulder.
Jeez.
And you know how long one of those scans lasts. You just went through one. Mm-hmm. It's not quick.
Mm-mm.
So it was just like sitting there, excruciating pain. I couldn't concentrate on anything else. Tears running down my face for minutes until finally like, okay, now you can release. Cause I was just like, this thing's going to pop out. Oh my God, this thing's going to pop out. Oh, it was just the worst. And then of course they came back like, oh yeah, this does happen. Your shoulder does separate. And it's like, yeah, no shit. And they're like, we could do surgery. We can do this type and this type. But like any surgery like this, it could heal up. It could, be a lot more like sturdy. You don't feel so like, oh my God, it's going to pop out. You'll feel a little bit more comfortable, but can we guarantee that your shoulder will not pop out? No, we can't guarantee that, but we could do this, this, and this. And it was like, no, I don't, I'll just deal with it. Yeah. You're probably going to have excruciating. What the hell is it? The stuff like when you crack your knuckles, when you get older, I forget what the hell the term is. Yeah. But yeah, they're like, oh, that's going to be in that shoulder. You're going to, arthritis. You're going to get a horrible case of arthritis, especially if it keeps displacing like it is now.
Jeez.
Like, so pretty much I just always have this shoulder down as much as possible.
Mm.
But it doesn't matter. Like I said, the arm could be down and I reach down to grab like a bag of fruit. And as soon as I lift it up to like put it on the counter, whoop, there it goes.
Dang, that's rough.
Effing suck.
That's rough. See, I didn't, so they gave me this prescription for Norco's and some kind of muscle relaxant. And and I got home and, on the way, my wife's like, should we get your prescription filled? And I was like, nah. I was like, I'll go in the morning. And I got home and I was thinking to myself, I was like, why would I get the prescription filled? I was like, I'm not going to take the shit anyway. So I went in the room and I was like, I'm not going to get the prescription filled. She's like, why not? I was like, well, I'm not going to take it because I don't take that kind of stuff.
Ah.
And she's like, well, just give me the prescription and I'll fill it out and we'll just keep it in the cupboard or whatever in case we ever need it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, fine. So I gave her the prescription. I don't know if she got it filled or not. I don't think she did. And
gotcha.
I just ended up taking some Aleve from when I had my leg surgery last year. And that was fine. That was fine.
You just need to relieve the intensity of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, the Aleve is good for, like, inflammation or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that helped quite a bit. I think they were, like, the stuff that I had in the cabinet was, like, 500 milligrams of Aleve, so it was fine.
Mm. Do you still get the pain?
No.
Okay, that's good.
No, matter of fact, it went away pretty much completely the next day.
I didn't know if it was like a work chair situation or your car seat that you're constantly aggravating.
And that's what I was trying to figure out, because like I hadn't done anything. I hadn't made any like jerking motions or like twisted anything like that.
Wink, wink.
But yeah, I hadn't done any of that. So it just like came on just out of nowhere.
Weird.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I've been fine ever since. Like I said, it went away the next day. So I don't know.
Dang.
I don't know. Don't do drugs, kids.
Yes, don't. Please.
Well, some drugs. Oh, okay.
God, Nelson, don't listen.
We'll talk about that next time.
Wait, hold on.
No, we're not done yet. I'm just saying we'll talk about that next time because I have a story about that. But we're not going to talk about it today because it might be too long.
All right, let's do that next time.
Yeah. All right. Wait, what?
No, I just wanted I didn't want it to be over.
Oh.
Sometimes you shoehorn in like, all right, talk to you later, bye.
No, not that fast. I mean, we can. I mean, we can end it. We're going to end it.
No, I guess, well, what else do you have?
Oh, Nick.
What?
I have a lot. We haven't talked in like 2 weeks.
I know. And I have some stuff too, so.
Let's save it for the next one.
I sort of don't want to.
All right. Well, continue then.
Regarding one thing, at least.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share, speaking of a life-changing moment.
Yes. Oh, we're talking about that.
If you don't mind.
Not at all. It's your show.
Most of my stuff's on Front Street, so I usually put my life on Front Street. So just wanted to throw out, I know you already know, but last Thursday, another life-changing moment hit old Nikki Wetmore. Was called into the big boss's office, and due to a restructure, I have found myself without a job. So back on the bread and soup line and the public cheese line. So
no more chicken sausage.
Oh no, chicken sausage. But it's just rough with, you know, the wife working 35 hours a week, and now we're putting a lot more stress on somebody who isn't supposed to be stressed.
Yeah.
So it is quite compounded, and it is honestly living back when I lost my previous job, the severance was a hell of a lot better because I was there 10 years, where this place that I'm coming off of, I was only there 2 years. So right. There is no severance. So there is no cushion of finding another job. It is, let's go and rake leaves and do whatever the hell it takes to get a job, because the woman that I'm married to should not be having any stress in her life because of her blood issues. And needless to say, this was quite the blindside, considering we came out of a corporate-wide meeting that was talking about how all of our predictions and all of our numbers from 2018 they're all in the black. We're all, oh my gosh, we are kicking ass, taking a name. Look at us. Look at us. And then to have them lay off, God, I think at the end it's going to be like 60, 70 people.
Jeez.
Is an effing just hit to the gut. Holy Christ.
Well, I hope they're not laying off their app team, because that app is terrible.
I know they're going to probably be swiped at this week. Mm. So
I don't want to make this into a weird conversation, Nick.
No, feel free. It's your
but
show.
But don't you no, it's your show. But don't you feel like sometimes how do I want to say this? It feels like a lot of the things that we do daily don't really matter in the end. You know what I mean?
I will tell you, I'm in a very zen place. Stuff like this happens for a reason. I truly believe that. Was I in the best spot possible there professionally? Probably not.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I would much rather be with a group of coworkers doing something that I don't know. I don't know how you feel. I just want to feel like I'm beneficial to the company. I don't mind being a cog in the wheel, but I want to know where that wheel's going. And it feels like I was a little bit lost for a little bit.
I know exactly what you mean. 'Cause I feel that way now. And I know that we've talked about this on the show a few times. And this, this whole new attitude I have at work. But, over the last few days, I realized that part of the reason I have this new attitude is that really I feel like the place where I'm at is not the best place for me.
Sure.
Not just professionally, but emotionally, mentally.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't feel like a place that would help me grow in any way. Now can I get away with a lot more than I used to be able to? Hell yeah. Am I doing a lot less than I used to? Hell yeah. Matter of fact, did I do absolutely anything today? Nope, sure did not. I did zero today.
you answered some of my questions today.
Well, I'm talking about at work though.
I know.
In fact, my boss asked me today, does your team need extra hours this week to get this project done? And I said, I don't need extra hours. My team is 40 hours on their budget for payroll. What I need is like three more people. Because I'm not giving 40 extra hours to people to get something done when what I really need is people constantly there to get it done.
It's like you're already at mass efficiency.
Yeah.
And then the job is like, yeah, but we want you to run at 125%, not 105%.
Yeah. Well, and especially when you don't feel like what you're doing really matters.
Yeah, the bad thing is once you hit that deadline, it's like they're just going to roll into the next project.
Yeah, there's just another deadline.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like when you feel like what you're doing doesn't matter, then why would I expect my people to not go home and spend time with their families?
Right.
When it's just going to happen again next time. You see what I mean?
Sure.
So they appreciate it. Because I'm not pushing them to the limit.
Right. But that efficiency can't always run at 100% either, you know?
Sure, sure.
Where I'm sure the people above you are like, well, of course it should run at 115% all the time, 24/7.
Yeah, but you know what I tell those? This is something that you should never do, kids. All the children listening to this podcast, do not ever do this. But I tell them, if you feel like you can do it at 125% every single fucking day, then why don't you get out of your office and come do it?
Right.
Because the truth is that they can't.
The people above you, the issue is in your situation, the people above you don't see efficiency as an ebb and flow. They just constantly want that 125%, period.
Right.
So why bring on two extra people to bring everyone's workload down to a regular base when we could just run these people into the ground until finally they quit and then we'll just hire somebody.
Yeah, yeah. You know, why don't you entertain the people for a minute? I'm going to go use the restroom real quick.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So what have I been reading currently? I was just talking to Martino about this, of course, during his lunch break today. He never talks to me while he's at work, unless it's at lunch, which I respect. He's the idle employee, as you can hear. But I ran by him. I want to do a deep dive into the Wildstorm universe. So after talking to him, I thought I would wrap up the Jason Aaron Weapon X Wolverine series, which I did today. And I'm going to be heading into the Wildstorm universe. Sadly, I'm getting everything via, well, not sadly, but I'm getting everything via digital. And this is the sad part. DC hasn't released all the Wildstorm digitally yet for whatever reason. I have no idea. Oh, well. But what I have, I do want to cherry pick and read. It's just really tough. Like I was telling Martin today, it's really tough when you have two volumes of Warren Ellis's title staring you in the face, but you also know that's sort of like Wildstorm 2.0. You shouldn't be jumping into that. You have to read the original versions from the universe before jumping into Warren Ellis wiping out what you knew of Wildstorm, and now I'm going to rebuild it. At least that's what I think. Because I think once I read Warren Ellis, I probably will be less likely to go back and read the older stuff. Just in my head. So that's sort of what's on the docket, which is sort of exciting as well. But I got to give a shout out to Mr. Ronnie Barron, because he turned me on to the latest Wolverine title, The Return of Wolverine. So I read the first issue of that, and that was surprisingly fun, as well as thoroughly entertaining. It's Charles Soule writing it. It's Steve McNiven art. And Steve McNiven's been a little up and down lately for me, but this is definitely the good Steve McNiven that I haven't experienced in the last 2-3 years. So it was a pure pleasure to read that, as well as seeing Wolverine against a prehistoric saber-toothed tiger was something I've never seen, and it was fun. It was a fun ride.
I love saber-toothed tigers.
I know. Did you read the Return of Wolverine?
Yes.
That was
fine.
A fun read.
Yeah, it's fine.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't expect it to change the world, for God's sakes. It's Wolverine.
I mean,
but the Steve McNiven art, for whatever reason, I don't know how you feel, but
McNiven.
But McNiven hasn't been McNiven for the last like 2-3 years. Mm. He's been up and down. Mm. And I thought this title was vintage Steve McNiven, and it felt very. There were panels that were very Barry Windsor Smith.
Oh yeah.
Just in the way they're framed and the way the characters are within.
You know, I just feel like I'm so burnt out with Wolverine, even after all these years, that like, yeah, even when you have a solid book with Wolverine, I can't enjoy it as much as I want to.
I'll totally agree with you. I'm almost at the point where all it takes is one shitty Wolverine issue. And then it's like, there goes the wheels. They fell off the wagon. Back to the crappy version of Wolverine. Instead of like, it's a bump in the road.
Yeah.
I'm hypersensitive to like, oh, get this character out of here.
Yeah, yeah. But I had to also refill my gin. So I apologize, nice. Children.
Nice. Don't apologize for that.
Well, I'm not apologizing to adults. I'm apologizing to the children.
I was just walking through our conversation earlier this afternoon about Wildstorm.
Yes.
Yeah, headed down that road.
So what'd you decide? You Ellis? Is that what you're doing?
No, I was just telling everyone that I think if I read that, because that takes you into like, here's the new terrain of Wildstorm. This envisioned through Warren Ellis's eyes. If I start off with that, I don't think I would ever go back and read the older, you know, the first phase mm-hmm. of Wildstorm. I think I'd be less inspired to read it.
Mm.
So I think
you're starting with Wildcats?
I think I have to go back to try to read the beginning stuff.
Dude, that first year of Wildstorm is so fucking good.
Well, I'm jumping in tonight, so.
Mm.
But hey, I just wanted to give you a little I wanted to give you as well as the listener just a personal update. So sorry.
No, that's good. No, I like it. I like it. I don't think we do enough personal updates.
It's really rough. Like I said, and I certainly am not blaming my wife. Thank God I have a partner who completely understands where I'm at and is trying to be, and she is very cool about the whole situation. It's just, and I mentioned this to one of my buddies, it's just tough because it's only 35 hours a week. She's not making a lot. Mm-hmm. We did the bills. Like I said, I don't have any sort of parachute or anything like that. So right off the bat, it's like, yeah, we don't have any money to fuck around. We don't have any, like, you know, going to McDonald's and getting an iced tea, those days are over. Mm. Like, we are still, at the end of the month, we are still dipping into savings to pay for the bills.
Yeah.
Even with her money. So it's just like, oh my God. Like, that amount of stress I don't wish on anyone. Like, my level of stress as well as the stress that's heaped onto her regarding it. But it's just like, thank God I have a supportive partner. You know, knock on wood, thank God. But it's just, it's crazy to be like, I know what I want to do. And I know what's fulfilling for me in a job. And not that I'm desperate to find a job, because I don't feel that way. But it's just one of those things that it's just like, I know for myself, locating a job right now, not that I want to, like I said, go out and rake leaves or something just to bring in money. I don't want to do that, but I also I'm not young enough to wait for, oh, here's the perfect job. Because at this point, I'm not straight out of college where it's like every job's the perfect job,
right,
guy.
Right.
It's like, no, every job is not the perfect job, and you're not the perfect fit for every job. But if we can look at what I would be doing on a day-to-day basis, and like, I can find fulfillment in myself for that, as well as like relieve a little financial stress from my situation, that would be fantastic.
Man, you basically set up the entire conversation I wanted to have with you on the next episode.
Uh-oh. Sure.
So yeah. So let's talk about this. So I know what you mean, and there's something that I want to discuss there as well. And I don't want to turn into like some weird, like, I don't fucking know. But I've been thinking, this is part of the reason why I've been kind of MIA the last few days.
Okay.
Because this is something that has come into my mind over the last few days. Not because of work or your situation or anything like that. I'm sure, you know, everything influences other things. So
for sure.
Maybe there was some of that in there. But this is something that I've been thinking about a lot over the last few days, and really like over the last few months, but in particular over the last few days. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some things that are going on outside of work life, right? I mean, there's always stuff going on. In particular, I think the thing that's kind of bugging me a little bit right now is, anticipation. Anticipation is probably the wrong word. Maybe preparation for my wife's grandma dying. My wife and I had this discussion over the last couple of days. I didn't go because I had Zoe this past weekend, and I didn't want to put Zoe through the whole situation. But my wife's grandma is 91, I believe, around that age.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always been like fantastic health. She lives on her own on like 10 acres of property. She like chops her own firewood or whatever at 91. She's always been in great health. And obviously, like, there's people around there, right? So like, her granddaughter and her boyfriend and kid live next door. And like, my wife's parents are down the street, and my wife's aunt and uncle are down the street. So it's not like there's not people around, right? And we've talked about this, like my wife's family owns like 100 acres in that road. So they own like half the road basically. And over the last few months, she's been slowly getting weaker. And the last time we went to see him was, I think, like two weeks. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. We went up there to see, hang out with him. And matter of fact, yeah, that's when we had the chat about my breaking my keto with the vegetable soup. And my wife's grandma was there, and I saw, and she looked all right. You know, I try to keep people in good spirits. So I saw her and I was like, oh, you look great, blah, blah, blah. She didn't like look great. She looked kind of pale.
Sure.
But she was up and around. And the time that I saw her before that, she wasn't up and around. She was kind of very quiet, just chilling on the couch. So at least she was kind of up. So she doesn't have like anything in particular, but her health is definitely deteriorating. Like right now, the doctors have her on morphine, which, I mean, we just talked about this. I don't even, I have to like be dying to take aspirin. Okay. So obviously I'm not going to take morphine.
Yeah. Morphine's a whole other level.
Yeah. And not only is it a whole nother level, they're giving her like four times the whatever dose, because she's in so much pain. And part of the reason is they're using it to kind of treat her anxiety, because she's got this thing where like she feels like she can't breathe. So they've got her on morphine to calm her down enough where like she doesn't feel like she can't breathe.
When my wife was in the hospital for like a month, they gave her a morphine drip that she could.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry. It was a drip, but then they would also come in and like put shots into her IV. And it was the only time when she did the shots. It was the only time when I would be talking to her and she'd actually hold up her hand to like shush me. Because of the way the morphine like made her feel, because she was like, it was the she even told me, she's like, it's the only like 25 seconds of the entire day that where I don't feel any pain.
Right. Does she have the button?
She had the button, but the button never really released enough to be like worthwhile.
Yeah.
So that's why when she got the shot, she just knew. And it was one of those like just watching her. It's like, holy shit, this is what like an addict, like when you see Intervention, it's like, yeah. Wow, this is the look that they have right here.
Yep. So this is part of the reason I didn't want to take Zoe.
Sure.
But you know, I know, you know, this feeling where when something serious like this goes on, you feel like you need to be the stronger person.
Yeah. You have to be the rock.
Exactly. So with your wife's health issues, obviously that puts a lot on you to keep a positive attitude.
Yep.
And I try to do that here, and especially now with, you know, this whole thing with my wife's grandma. But it's extremely hard, right?
It is draining.
It is very draining to have to be overly positive about a situation that is not positive.
Yeah, it's like you're the rock when you're in that area, that hospital room with your wife and everyone. But it's like as soon as you go outside the door and you turn the corner, then you just break down.
Right.
Or you just become numb because you just don't want to even think about the situation anymore. Let me go anywhere inside myself, into a comic book, into a song, just so I can relieve my head a little bit.
Yeah. And I know that you and I are not the only people going through this, right? Everyone goes through this. And I know that there's people listening to this. Part of the reason that some people listen, we say dumb shit to make you laugh. But also some people listen because, I mean, sometimes Nick, we talk about real shit. So the episode title for this part due is Real Talk, because this is a Real Talk episode. You know, sometimes it happens.
Yeah, we're not unique snowflakes. We know other people go through this.
But for example, I know Ronnie doesn't talk about this publicly, so I'm not going to talk about Ronnie's struggles.
Mm-hmm.
But Ronnie has had a lot to deal with recently, for example. And obviously, with your wife's situation, you have a lot to deal with. I'm fortunate enough where my immediate family is mostly healthy. You know, like, my dad has some health issues, but, like, it's kind of taken care of.
Sure.
You know, my wife's on medication, and she's got some issues, but she's pretty well taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same with the kids, and obviously now the thing with my wife's grandma. And, you know, I didn't want to take Zoe there, not because I don't want Zoe to not witness that kind of thing.
Right.
I think unlike most parents, I don't like to shield my kids from anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important because, I mean, let's be real talk. Life is pretty shitty. And if you shield people from the shitty aspects of life, then they will not be able to understand how to cope with certain things when those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So by me not taking Zoe there, it wasn't like I don't want you to see this 90-plus-year-old woman dying, which she obviously is. Mm-hmm. But it's more of, you know, you spend like 2 days a week here, let me make the most positive impact on your time with us.
Right.
When we can.
Maybe seeing you for those 2 days is a respite for her.
Right. Which it is, because her mom hates the fact that Zoe can't wait to come to my house. But you know what? My house is better, and that's just the way it is. Because I'm the cool dad and she's the annoying strict mom.
Yeah. Sorry, that's what happens.
Sorry, that's the way it goes. But also, like, you know, she and I have different parenting styles.
Yes.
And so that's the way that is. But I don't want to subject Zoe to that kind of thing. I mean, like, you know, Zoe's had to deal with some stuff anyways on her own, right?
Yeah.
So her mom had, when she and I got together, she already had 2 kids from her marriage. Mm-hmm. They were separated at the time. And, her half sibling's dad died a couple years ago, from an overdose, actually.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, those kids have had to deal with stuff. Obviously, it doesn't impact Zoe as much because that's not her dad. But I never shield her from anything. I never shield Reagan from anything.
Sure.
I think it's important for them to understand how and why things happen. But I mean, especially when you get to someone that's in their 90s.
Yeah.
It's a little more to be expected, right? But
sure.
But so part of the issue that I'm having now is, I already don't have time for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of right now I'm in the mode where I need to make sure that my wife understands what's happening, right? Which she does. I mean, my wife's a grown-ass woman, right? I don't need to explain to her what happens when people get sick and die, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, my wife hasn't had somebody die in her family in a very long time.
Sure.
Right? Whereas I had experience with this kind of thing from very young, and so maybe that's part of the reason why I feel maybe a little more comfortable with it. I mean, my grandfather died when I was 6, and my grandfather was closer to me then than my parents were, because my parents both worked 2 jobs, and so I was living with my grandparents. I mean, I've told, like, ridiculous stories about how my dad used to grow wine or grapes in the backyard to make wine, and how, like, I was the one stepping in the fucking grape barrel to make the wine. You know what I mean? Like, this is a true story. But it meant a lot to me, right? Because it was a time where I had to spend time with these people that I was basically spending all the time with. And, and I don't think my wife really had that kind of thing. I mean, obviously she's had, like, her grandfather died when she was younger and stuff like that. But, like, there are certain things that I don't think she's been so exposed to, where I want my wife to be prepared, but I also want me to be able to help her.
Sure.
And I think that's a little harder.
Yeah, she has to come to terms with it.
Mm. Yeah.
The sad thing is there's nothing you can do. You can't. I live to alleviate pain from my wife and try to shield her as much as I can from it. But something like that, no matter what you do, you can't take any of that pain away. You want to absorb it like a sponge, but how? You can't do that for the person that you love. And that's really shitty.
It is.
But you know, at least you know enough that that's what you would love to do for that person. There's a lot of people that don't feel that way, you know?
Yeah. And you know, like I think my wife, I mean, from the conversation that we had, I think she obviously understands, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
I mean, you would hope so, right? From an almost 40-year-old person to understand a family member dying.
Sure.
But I want to make sure. So, you know, I kind of throw it into conversation in kind of a backhanded way.
Mm-hmm.
To see, like, what kind of thing she comes back with. And from the conversation that we've had, I think she would be okay. But you never know, right?
Yeah.
You never know. And I think that's maybe a little more worrying.
Yeah, it's easy to avoid it's easy to avoid that. You think of everything, but it's like the one thing you really don't want to approach is the thing that you know is going to. It has to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, some people can't prepare for that. They don't want to see that. But I guess that's the way grief works. You're going to have to approach it sooner or later, sadly.
Well, and the thing is, like, through all the stuff that I've, like, tried to instill into the kids, I often wonder, like, how much of that should I try to instill into my wife also?
Yeah, but people go through grief different ways, you know?
Well, that's true. But I don't want that to overwhelm her.
Yeah, but some people approach it differently. You know, some people can bottle it up. Some people can be like, I'm going to feel bad for this amount of hours or days, and then I'm going to move on with my life and close that chapter of that book and move on clean.
Yeah.
You know, and other people are talking to that person that passed away and saying prayers to them and talking to them in a room that you damn well know that person isn't there, but you know what? That helps them work through it. So that's what's going to happen. Mm. Like my mom still does that with my grandmother. She'll still talk to her and she doesn't have to go to the gravesite. She just believes that when she talks to her that, you know, her mom listens to her. And that's how she grieves. That's how she, you know, deals with it. She doesn't compartmentalize it. She just works through it.
Yeah, I had that with when my grandfather died. I had that for years. I think probably till I was, I don't know, probably close to middle school. So, I mean, he died when I was like 6, so probably to like 13.
Sure.
Yeah, it's tough. And like I said, I feel like it would be tougher for someone younger, but maybe it's the opposite. Or at least with my kids, maybe it would be the opposite. So, I mean, right now, all I feel like I can do is make sure that it's discussed, right?
Yeah, you just never, I mean, people are different. Some people don't want to discuss it, you know?
Yeah.
So that might be a way for you to work through it. But if the other person doesn't want to work through it that way, you can't force them.
That's true. But I also want to make sure that she's in a place where she feels like she can discuss if need be, right? I mean, I said this before. I don't believe in medication. My wife does take medication for anxiety, which part of the reason I don't agree with is because it gives you a whole bunch of other side effects that leads to having to take additional medication to deal with those side effects. Yeah. So that's why I don't take medication. But I can't tell my wife not to take her medication, right? If she if she feels like that helps her, then okay, that helps her. But it does worry me in some ways when a tragic event like death of a important family member.
Mm-hmm.
It worries me that when she has to figure out how to react to it, she may not know and give her further issues. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I just think people approach that situation differently, and that's okay.
Mm. Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure you have communicated to her that whenever, morning, noon, or night, she wants to discuss that situation that's happening. I'm here, I'm available, I'm open, let's do this. And I don't know how many times you have to tell her that for it to sink in, you know?
True.
Because if you suggest it too much, it could become a source of like aggravation for her and frustration.
Oh, you mean like podcasting?
What do you mean?
You're like, I'm going to go record this podcast. All right. 4 years later. Hey, have you heard about podcasting?
Oh,
it's fantastic.
I thought she needed to talk, and you were like, nope, got to go podcast. Then I'd feel horrible.
No. None of that. I don't know, man. I don't know, man. It's rough. You know what? Life is rough. Life fucking sucks. So,
it doesn't always suck. Stop that.
All right. It doesn't always suck. Here's what I realized. And I could be just totally wrong, and that's fine. I'm totally, used to being wrong. But you know, one thing that I realized, the more I think about it, maybe I should just quit thinking about it. Mm. But the more I think about it is, just how much of my day to day, your day to day might be different, but how much of my day to day feels like it's kind of irrelevant. Like it doesn't really matter, right?
Mm.
I mean, I'm sure it matters to somebody, right? Like I'm sure it matters to my boss or his boss when I'm at work. But like when I'm at home, like how much of the stuff that I do at home really matter to people? And some of it does matter. Obviously, like us recording this podcast, like my family could give two shits. I except Reagan because I think she listens sometimes.
Oh no.
But for the most part, like, this doesn't matter, right? To at least in my house. But obviously it matters to some people because people listen to this show, right? But overall, like, how much of what we do daily matters? I mean, this kind of goes back to your work thing and it kind of goes back to my work thing. You know, you could say, like, maybe it just wasn't the best thing, right? And that's probably true. And I mean, I'm not one to tell people, but I mean, I could tell like you weren't really happy with what you were doing, right? I mean, it was a thing to do, but like it wasn't something you enjoyed. And sometimes like it's very hard to figure out what is it that you enjoy, right? Like I enjoy talking to you. Can I make talking to you a career? Well, probably not. Right. I mean, I would love it if I could, but can I do that? Nah, probably not. And I'm okay with that. Now, if Goodyear Wrangler HTs wanted to pay you and I every year to just talk to each other, then that's fine. But it's not going to happen. And,
right.
And I'm okay with that. So that leads to the next thing. Like, what is it that really means something? And I think that's very hard. Right. And this maybe feels like a really weird topic to discuss on this show because, generally we're not very serious. But I'm curious. I mean, you're a little bit older than I am. Have you ever felt like you did something for work? Okay. I'm not talking about like personal time,
mm-hmm.
but I'm talking about for work. Have you ever like done something at work where you were like, yeah. Like this is important. This means something. This fulfills me in some kind of way. This is something that I want to do all the time because I don't think I've ever felt that.
I have felt that many times in my career. So, including the last job I was at. So yeah, there's a lot of small victories that I feel like, dang, that was awesome. Dang, we did a good job. We did what we wanted to set out to do. And I feel very fulfilled, as well as I take a lot of pride in it.
Well, I mean, I feel like I take a lot of pride when we get stuff done, and when we finish something, I feel pride in getting that thing accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't feel like it adds to me in any way.
I take not a majority of self-worth in regards to my work, like work-life balance. No, there's a lot of stuff that's routine, but I also take a lot of pride in what I do. And there's a lot of times where it's stuff that maybe people don't think of as like, oh, that was huge. That was an awesome thing that I did at work. Maybe, you know, my coworkers don't think that, but then I do. And I've told bosses that, you know, I would rather like to get a pat on the back praise than give me a 3% raise. Like, my driver is not money. If my driver was money, while I was in college, I would have went into a field of business that gave me all the money so that I could retire early.
Yeah.
You know, that isn't my driver. So, and it's great that people are. And guess what? Since I am older than you and I'm looking at retirement at this point, it's like, dang, I wish I would have done that early. Then I probably wouldn't be so stressed. But right now it's like uber stressful. So especially knowing like, wow, we don't have that much money. Better not just go out driving and gallivanting around, driving to like three grocery stores to pick up my weekly groceries.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't waste all that gas. I can't, like, taking money out of our savings is like killing me. So yeah, I do take a lot, back to your original thing, I do take a lot of pride in work, no matter what I'm doing. And I think that's good for me as a driver. It's just when I see through it, when you see through that matrix and you realize that manager that I have, all they're doing is assigning me busy work and then giving me due dates to this busy work that really have no function and critical, like the items that I'm doing because it's busy work isn't something that's like, oh my God, that website's busted. Oh my God, that page is busted. It's busy work just to keep me ... busy, where I'm definitely that type of worker that's like, you know what? If I can be more efficient at my job or come in because I can't sleep at night, I come in at 3 o'clock in the morning because I can't sleep. Why the hell can't I leave after my day? Why can't my day be done at 10 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock? Why do I have to stick around till 5 o'clock?
I have often wondered that.
Yeah. So that's the part of my head that's just like, if I'm more efficient and I can get all my work done in 6 hours, why can't I leave after 6 hours?
See, I haven't talked to my wife about this, but Paul and I briefly had this chat. He didn't know the whole situation, but he just kind of chimed in privately to me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Kind of when I said on Twitter that I was going to be taking off from podcasting till whatever day it was. He's like, you know what the problem is? He's like, oh God, what did he say? Something like, all the projects that you do end up feeling like work to you. And maybe that's the reason why you don't enjoy doing those things. And I understand where he was coming from, but mm-hmm. also I think without understanding the whole situation, maybe it was kind of out of turn. I mean, I agree with what he says because like you, I take a great deal of pride in the majority of things that I do. I don't want to say everything because that's probably a lie.
Sure.
We all do stupid shit. I mean, we're doing this podcast. This is the stupid podcast.
Yeah, we're not curing cancer over here.
But
I will say your head, like human nature, my guess is a driver for you are deadlines. And if you didn't have a deadline, or at least in your head, a deadline for your writing, would you just all of a sudden like, oh, I'm going to go watch a couple more movies? But putting that artificial deadline in your head for writing or something, or like, you know, I got to do Comic Talk today. Like, if you didn't have that driver in your head, like, this has got to get out. And sure, could you treat it like work, quote unquote? Yeah. But, you know, you get jazzed for these items. And guess what? If you don't give yourself or don't treat it like work, would you really do it? Or would you just hang out on the couch watching Netflix all day? I'm not sure. I don't know about you, but a driver for me is me putting this deadline, or me like, I'm going to podcast on Wednesday, or I'm going to podcast on Sunday, damn it.
Yeah, I think the deadline helps, but it also really depends on like what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like, if there's stuff going on, then obviously I want to talk about it, but if there's nothing going on, then like, maybe I just don't really feel like doing anything.
Sure.
And, you know, there's like sometimes where like I'll talk about something. I'm like, I don't want to step on toes, right? Like there's been a whole bunch of stuff going on at DC lately. And I'm like, well, I want to see what Ronnie and Aaron have to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because a lot of times I'll just, whenever it comes out, I'll just fucking record, because I record every day anyway. But like, I don't want people to not see what they have to say because I want to say something about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just I don't think you treat stuff like work is my point.
Yeah, I agree for the most part, and I think even at work I don't treat work like work all the time.
Yeah, it's not brain surgery.
And I'm sure if my boss is listening, he would be very upset when I say that. But it's true. I don't know, man. I'm in this weird headspace. Where I feel like I've decided to take up a couple of new hobbies to see if like some of the stuff changes my perspective on things.
Mm-hmm.
Because really like what it boils down to is I have work and I have my family. And I have, I think one problem that I have is I have too many hobbies. So adding to my list of hobbies may be the wrong thing to do. But I feel like maybe what I need is hobbies that seem more meaningful to me. Mm. And not necessarily in the fact that maybe they accomplish more, but maybe in the fact that they accomplish more in my head. So one thing I decided to do over this weekend is start gardening.
Nice.
And the reason I wanted to do that is because it has nothing to do with anything else that I like to do. And so this goes with the, should I really be picking up another hobby? But maybe I do need another hobby. Maybe I need a hobby that is exactly this, that has nothing to do with anything else that I enjoy doing, because of the fact that it will keep my brain away from all those other things.
I was going to say it works a different muscle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tonight I was, as I texted you earlier, I was making some, raised planting beds, because I have a couple of sheds in my backyard. One's pretty big. It's, 10 by 15. And the other one is 10 by 10, I think.
Mm.
So the 10 by 10, I've had 300,000 ideas on what to do with it. My latest idea is to turn it into a sauna. For some reason, I want a sauna. So I think that's what I might do with it. But I've kind of put that off because I want to turn the other one into a greenhouse. But I want to do it a convertible greenhouse. That's the problem, right? Like, I'm not a gardener, but I want a hobby that has nothing to do with comics, with being inside, with watching movies or comic-related things, where it has me outside of the house doing something to get my mind working in a different way. And so that's why I thought maybe gardening would be cool. And
what about a hydroponic garden?
Well, funny you should mention that. Because, you know, my mind works very quickly and goes through 3 million different ideas a second. And so I was like, let me try gardening. And so I started plotting in my head, and I was like, oh, I could do a greenhouse with the shed that we literally have never used. Like, at least a smaller one we've used, like, as a playroom or whatever sometimes, just to hang out. But the other one, literally, have never used it. The only time I've used it is when branches fall off trees, they go into the shed. Right? Until I have time to start a bonfire and burn them.
Sure.
That is literally the only time we've used it in the 5 years we lived in this house. So I was like, ah, I'm going to do a greenhouse. But then I thought to myself, like, I'm in the South. It's really fucking hot. And summer's coming up. So it's going to be super hot. Why would I build a greenhouse? Like, a greenhouse is for cold weather. So I'm going to do a convertible greenhouse. So I'm still going to take off the roof of this shed and half of the walls. And I've got a whole plan on what I'm going to do with it. But so I'm building these raised planting beds because I want to plant mostly, to be honest, kale, lettuce, and cabbage, because I eat those three vegetables every single day. Mm-hmm. And so not only would it be kind of a cool hobby if it works out, but it would also be monetarily viable because I literally buy that shit every single week.
Yeah.
And so if I'm just growing it here, then I don't need to buy them.
Right.
And from what I've read, kale and lettuce is extremely easy to keep year round. And all you got to do is, you know, just cut the plant as the leaves start growing and they just keep growing. So I would probably never need to buy kale and lettuce again. So it worked out. And then I looked at the space of the shed. And I mean, like I said, it's a big shed. It's like 10 by 15. And, I don't want to overreach. Because I think that can be a problem sometimes with the amount of things that I want to try. Because I, dude, Nick, you know this. We've known each other for years. You know that I literally like to try new things all the fucking time.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes it's great, but sometimes it's really fucking terrible because that's how I come up with 3,000 new hobbies every fucking week to try to do. And so I want to try this planting of vegetables first. And you can blame Zoe because Zoe is, they've got a competition at school. Each kid in her grade was giving a cabbage seedling. And at the end of the school year, whoever has the largest cabbage gets some kind of prize. And so I am competitive.
No.
I am competitive, and so I want my daughter to have a gigantic cabbage. And so I am trying to find the best way to grow the best and largest motherfucking cabbage so she can win whatever this fucking prize is. It's probably like a fucking lollipop. I don't know.
Yeah, who the hell knows?
Who cares?
Right.
But I want to win.
We need to fertilize this thing. We need to.
Yeah, I want to win. So, and you know, my neighbors fucking, they grow vegetables and stuff in their garden. They do zucchini, tomatoes, and something else. I can't remember. And I'm not going to ask them because they're freaking douchebags. but I'm going to figure it out. So I'm going to convert this shed into something, a growing area. And I thought to myself, this thing's fucking huge. So I started researching, like, how can I, like, maximize the amount of room that I'm using? And I came upon fish farming. So as it turns out, I'm going to begin with this vegetable garden. I'm building these raised planters to do on the edges of the garden. But I think, Nick, in the middle, I may be doing a 2,000-gallon pond where I can farm tilapia.
Is this just like a glorified aquarium?
It's here's the problem. I have not done this in years. Matter of fact, since my wife and I got together, I used to do aquariums. I always had several aquariums. For a while, one of my hobbies was biotope aquariums, in which I found the fish that I really liked the look of the fish, and I created not exact, but close replicas of their natural living environments, and created a fish tank environment around where the fish would actually live. And it was very rewarding. It was a lot of work, and it kept me busy, and it was really fun. You know, like cleaning a fish tank. I don't know if you ever had fish.
No.
Like a serious fish keeper.
No.
But it is very hard work, especially if you do a biotope environment. I've had a couple of like Southeast Asian biotopes. Those are my favorite. They're dark water, so it's like the water looks almost brownish because the leaves and stuff leach into the water. But it's great for like betas, for example. Most people buy betas and put them in like a gallon jar or whatever by themselves with no pebbles or anything. Like I went all out. Like I had sand and mud and freaking like actual living plants in the aquarium to make it look like their natural habitat. And it was fun. It was really fun because every day I would go in and clean the tank. Once a week you have to siphon out water and, you know, clean the edges and whatever. It was really fun and very zen-like. But definitely not a hobby for someone that's not slightly OCD. So when I started looking up like, you know, gardening and things like that, I went from one thing to another and somehow ended up on fish farming. And you can literally grow a year's worth of fish in a pond that's about 1,000 to 2,000 gallons. And to be honest, that's not a very large tank if you have the space. So I may be doing that. And if that's the case, then I literally don't need to go to the grocery store anymore. I basically right now, every single day, eat salmon, kale, lettuce, cabbage, and some kind of other thing to go along with it. So if I'm growing all the stuff, I mean, it wouldn't be salmon. Salmon's a little bit harder to grow. But tilapia is very easy to grow, and it's very resistant to heat and cold. So who knows? I may just be eating tilapia and kale and lettuce and cabbage every single day.
Can't you just use your in-laws' pond that they have?
They don't have a pond.
Oh, I thought they had a pond.
No, they don't have a pond. They've got a shit ton of land. However, my in-laws are garbage farmers. They tried to grow a garden last year. And Literally everything died because they just didn't know how to keep it.
Gotcha.
But they live on, I mean, if you split their land with my father-in-law's sister that lives next door, they're mm-hmm. on 50 acres apiece.
Gotcha.
Except their houses are literally within 50 feet of each other. But yeah, they're garbage farmers.
Well, I can't wait to see the pictures of your tilapia farm.
So I told my wife about this. I was fully expecting my wife to tell me I was fucking crazy.
To get a little pushback?
Yeah, fully expecting this. I was prepared with snappy comebacks. I text my wife. I say, I really don't feel fulfilled with anything that I'm doing right now. I'm going to start gardening. I'm going to turn the shed into a greenhouse, a convertible greenhouse. Convertible because it's going to be a greenhouse, but during the summertime, it's going to be wide open. And then in the wintertime, it's going to be enclosed. I haven't worked the logistics out. I have some ideas of what I'm going to do, but that's what I'm going to do. So this is what I text her. I said, I'm going to start doing some backyard farming. I'm definitely going to be doing tomatoes, kale, lettuce, cabbage, maybe a couple other things. And I'm thinking about doing 1,000-gallon tank to grow tilapia. You know what she said to me? All right, babe, if that's what you want to do. I said, what the fuck? Who are you? Where's my wife?
Hey, maybe she knows you're searching for something, you know?
I'm searching a lot, Nick.
I know you're on a quest.
I'm searching a lot. I'm not finding much, but I'm searching a lot. I just don't feel very fulfilled, Nick. And maybe people feel very fulfilled with whatever they do, and that's fine. I don't know, man. I just feel like every day almost feels almost exactly the same. And to me, that's not what I want.
Is this what a midlife crisis feels like?
I have no idea. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the exact same thing this weekend. That was part of the problem. So along with the fact that my wife's grandma may be dying, I'm thinking to myself, am I having a fucking midlife crisis?
Are you going to go out and buy a Ferrari?
No, I'm not doing that.
Or a Harley or something.
I'm not doing that. Because that wouldn't mean anything to me. But I was thinking the same thing, dude. I was like, what the fuck's happening? Like, I'm going to grow fucking fish in my backyard to eat?
That would be awesome. Why don't we live closer? We could have a mushroom farm, a cricket farm, and then a tilapia farm.
Well, so the other shed...
What the hell?
The other shed is going to be for the crickets and the mushrooms.
I'm not a needy man at heart. Just give me like 3 acres on that.
Dude, I don't even need that. Let me tell you.
I don't even know what 3 acres are, buddy. That's what I'm telling you. I'm in a town hall.
3 acres is a lot.
All right.
I've literally spent the last like 5 days. Literally, Nick, I'm not even joking. Literally the last 5 days just looking up how to grow different kinds of vegetables.
Can you? All right.
That's all I've done.
How about if you give me an acre? I'll build a house on it and it will be a very small domicile, but then I'll use the majority of that acre just for a farm. Let's just build a farm. What the hell? What are we doing?
Dude. So my property is on an acre of land.
Oh, jeez.
If I used all my land to grow food, I could probably feed the entire neighborhood. Just from what I'm researching. Okay. Like I haven't even started this stuff, right? I just put together my planters. I haven't even put soil in them.
But isn't it crazy? Just that small of a pond and like you're set for like fish for the year.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you don't even think about, like, how small that is and how much fish could be produced for you to consume. That's nuts.
A 1,000-gallon pond, it, under ideal conditions, produces 100 pounds of fish.
Isn't that crazy? Good God.
Yeah.
Oh, love it.
It's 10 gallons per pound of fish. And then you have your vegetables. And like I said, With vegetables like the ones that I eat every single day, all you got to do is cut them and they grow back. So you can, and you, if you have a greenhouse, you can grow them year round. Maybe not so much in Chicago, but like down here where the weather is a little warmer.
Yeah.
It's definitely very feasible. So we'll see, man.
Crazy.
We'll see. Crazy. I mean, obviously, like I would have to still work, right? Like I got to pay the power bill or whatever.
Although,
let me tell you, I have, 3 houses in this neighborhood that now have solar panels.
Oh.
And I keep talking to my wife about this. It's a large investment, though, because you got to pay it over like 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But
get
still.
A wind turbine, too.
Yeah, there's not enough wind here.
Darn it.
Yeah, there's not enough wind.
Start, or one of your greenhouses should just be for cannabis, and that's how you make your money.
Cannabis. I told my wife years ago, when my wife and I first met, this came up in conversation about smoking weed, and I told I said I don't smoke weed, which I didn't. I haven't smoked weed in
never. Thank you, Nelson.
Since my 30th birthday, so 7 years.
Oh, okay, all
right. I'm not gonna. My dad never asked, but I'm sure he knows.
I don't. Yeah.
Since my 30th birthday, and it was the worst experience of my life. By the way, because. I had not smoked since college. Okay, the last time I had smoked, I was like 22 or 23, and my 30th birthday comes around. We go to this birthday party, and my girlfriend at the time, Zoe's mom, was there, and with her best friend. Her best friend was dating this guy. He smoked a lot of weed, And so we were at this party, and she's like, yeah, because it's Martin's birthday today. And he's like, it's your birthday? And he was cool as shit, sweetest dude ever, but high all the time. And and he's like, it's your birthday? I said, yeah, dude, it's my birthday. He's like, you want to smoke? I was like, man, I haven't smoked since college. He's like, dude, I have some great stuff you can smoke. And it was some, like, synthetic weed or whatever, which I didn't know was a thing until that point. And he's like, yeah, smoke this. Dude, I took two hits. I didn't pass out, but as I was taking the third hit, I felt myself sitting on the grass, like literally as I'm taking the third hit. And I passed it on, and I felt my head come down. And next thing I know, it's hours later, and I'm awake. Throughout this time, it wasn't actually like hours. It had literally been, I think, like an hour and a half. But Nick, it felt like days. Whatever it was that I smoked was fucking, it fucked me up. I think it's called a hypnotic when that happens. But it just totally screwed with my sense of time. I literally what, like 5 seconds of real time was a minute of real time. So this whatever hour long experience, when I finally came to and I looked at the clock, I was like, wait, it's only been an hour and a half. It literally felt like half a day.
Well, maybe we shouldn't grow cannabis then.
Well, I mean, whatever. We can grow shrooms.
Why don't you grow vape juice?
Vape juice. Yeah, I'm going to grow vape juice.
Yeah, organic vape juice.
I might grow something. So can we talk about this? I'm going to talk about a drug thing.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to talk about a drug thing. So I as I've said many times, I don't do drugs.
No.
However, I have found a very interesting experience, Nick, from extracting a chemical from morning glory flowers, which has been
something you really should be talking about on a podcast.
All right, we're not talking about this. Never mind. Skip this part of the podcast, kids. You must be 21 or older to this never happened.
Oh my God. You've been listening to an episode of Nerdy Leech.
However, Nick, let me tell you,
Martin Ferretti,
it's quite good.
I'm co-host Nick Whatmore.
I've teased this thing many times, just to see like if anybody will actually ask. And I think most people are scared to ask because it's really helped my concentration in writing. I'm not doing anything in particular, by the way. But for writing, it's fucking awesome. I'd be like, hey, a matter of fact, I don't know if you were on Discord. You might have been. Sparky was talking about writing. Because, you know, Sparky and I have been doing this writing thing.
Yes.
And he's like, I just can't find the focus to continue with this particular section. And I was like, oh, you might need an enhancer. And he's like, an enhancer? I was like, I can't talk about it. I can neither confirm nor deny. He's like, huh, I don't know what you're talking about, but I may need to look it up. And then like 20 minutes later, him and Aaron were talking. He's like, I need to go write. He's like, I need to find me an enhancer.
Brother.
But yeah, I'm not doing anything serious. I'm microdosing something.
Okay, we need to move on.
No,
this is not a good topic for us to start hitting.
Listen, this has been a very serious episode of the Nerd Legion podcast, so we can talk about whatever we want.
No, we cannot. We really need to move on.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
We either move on or shut the caravan of love down right now, one or the other.
Here's what where I'll leave this conversation before we move on.
Okay. Yes, enhance this. Go ahead.
I am totally okay with any naturally occurring chemicals.
Good. Okay.
All right. We can continue.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
If you got to make it in a chem lab, I don't believe in it. How about that?
This is getting me very uncomfortable.
You know what's funny? All right. This is kind of funny. So this has to do with my wife's grandma. So she's telling me this whole thing about the morphine, right? Mm-hmm. And, like how it makes her feel, like how much, like literally four times the normal dose is what they're giving her, to keep her chill out. And I'm like, how are they giving her so much morphine? She's fucking 91. They're going to kill her. And she's like, I don't know. She's like, I talked to my dad and this and that. And I talked to my aunt, this and that. And, the reason they're giving her this much medication is because of this and that and the other. And I was like, why don't they just fucking buy her like a pound of weed? Like, if they're giving her so much morphine, just let her smoke a joint in her house or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, my wife, remember, I do not smoke weed. My mm-hmm. wife does not smoke weed. My wife says to me, that's exactly what I told my dad. I said, Dad, why don't you buy her a pound of weed? Anyways, apparently my wife isn't the only one, but apparently like, my wife's cousin, so her other grandkid, her boyfriend told them all the same exact thing. Cause they're mm-hmm. all like, oh, we gotta keep on this morphine, blah, blah, blah. He's like, why don't you just fucking buy her some weed? Which like, I don't know, whatever. There's some kind of stigma on weed. There's some medical uses for weed. I'm pretty sure if somebody's having the issues that this woman's having, weed would be a lot better than giving her fucking stacks and stacks of morphine. Anyway, continue.
You know who swears by it is ex-Bears quarterback Jim McMahon.
Oh?
My wife went to – he was launching this new psychiatric ward offshoot from one of our hospitals. My wife went to it for work, and she said he was going through, you know, his standard motivational talk as the speaker, and then he – diverted over into the use of like medical marijuana and supplements and all of that. And she's like, the passion that he had and just the way he talked about how it saved his life. And, he doesn't understand how the medical community are dragging their feet. This is crazy. And he was just such a like patriot for it. And my wife, with her rare blood disease, she's on a Facebook group that's worldwide, and there's so many people that are doing like, you know, medical marijuana, whatever you want to call it, offshoots. And, you know,
CBD? My wife,
I believe so.
Yeah.
And how great that is and how it, you know, helps with some of the pain and the anxiety and all that. And, you know, it's not like you're high. It's just, you know, it helps that. For what, you know, all the medical reasons that you could look up, all like, it's all like pretty fact based, it seems.
Yeah.
But you know, my wife is like, you know, she's looking up like wigs for herself and trying to like prepare herself for, you know, what's coming down the road. And she's just like, I don't understand why I can't just take one of these pills. Like what the hell? What, like, it's out there. Why can't I do this? It's not going to hurt anyone.
Yeah. So,
isn't it better than like, oh, I'm looking at chemotherapy drugs right now. Like, in conjunction, why can't I be doing this as well? Like, what the hell?
So, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, so we don't need to talk about this. But I've tried to get my wife off of her anxiety medication, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Because, listen, when I was growing up, I smoked a lot of weed in high school. Sorry, Leslin. But I smoked a lot of weed in high school, and I smoked a lot of weed through most of college.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's fun, but like there are legitimate medical uses for it.
For sure.
And you know, for somebody in my wife's grandma's situation, I think it would definitely help.
Yeah.
There's a place here downtown now that sells it purely CBD oil. It's all they sell.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to get my wife to get off her anxiety medication and try the CBD stuff. I've talked about drinking kava tea on this podcast previously. I think kava is fantastic. Completely legal. It's not illegal. It is a fantastic relaxer.
Mm-hmm.
And I do drink it several times a week. I think it's fantastic. I don't see problems with anything that's natural. So kava, kratom, CBD, any kind of weed, anything like that, shrooms, I don't have any problem with any of that stuff. My problem is with stuff that's made.
Synthetic.
Yeah. And even some of that stuff, maybe not that many issues. I think the problem with a lot of drugs is not the drug themselves, but the way people use them, because people have a propensity to abuse anything that feels good.
For sure.
And that's maybe kind of the problem. But I mean, you can say that about anything, right? Like, I mean, I quit smoking, right? You can say that about tobacco.
Yeah.
I haven't drank in months. I'm drinking gin right now. It feels fantastic. But I mean, I know that alcohol's terrible. I mean, pound for pound, alcohol versus something like marijuana, the marijuana wins, right? I mean, it's much more expensive to drink alcohol than do something else. And it's probably got worst effects, especially on your liver, to drink alcohol. So,
sure.
It's weird, right? But my thing is, there's probably a proper use for certain things if you use them properly and responsibly.
Yep.
And that's all I will say.
I will disagree. Trust me, I wish my wife didn't feel that societal stigma, and I wish she could do some of this stuff just to, you know, ease her a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
she's in so much pain. It's like I have such a low tolerance for pain, and seeing what she goes through, I know her high tolerance.
Yeah.
And like, it's not her fault that like her body is like, at this point, she has like such like leg pain and bone. It's actually bone pain because the platelets are being drawn out of like her bone, and it's causing her extreme pain.
So,
because her body's trying to fight something that it shouldn't try to be fighting, you know, hence the bad, you know, blood disease, the, you know, rare blood disease.
Have you guys not tried CBD?
No, we haven't tried anything. Like I said, she's so scared of like the societal stigma that she just refuses to try anything.
So I will say this. I don't know how it is.
But also, her doctors haven't suggested anything. Like, doctors do not look at any quote-unquote alternative medication.
Yeah, doctors don't like alternative or natural stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I will say there's plenty of evidence on like CBD, for example. So I know she feels maybe stigmatized. Maybe it's just the stuff that I surround myself with. But for me, I don't see a stigma. And even on my personal experiences and beliefs, I don't see anything wrong with it.
I think it's just a stigma that she has to get over.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's just a matter of time. Because, I mean, like I said, she just got introduced to all this stuff, you know, semi-recently.
No, I get that. I get that. And
but then, like, even on the board that she's on, that, you know, medical board that she's on, it's like people aren't pushing that type of stuff. But once you ask, then, like, tons of people will come out of the woodwork. But they just don't initially like, oh, you should try this. You should try this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good. At least people aren't like, you should try this. Oh, what do you do for a living? I sell this. No, at least it isn't like that. Like, it's just people that are like, oh, if you want to talk about it, yeah, we could talk about that. Like with her bone pain, like once she brought it up, then she had tons of people like, oh, yeah, I'm getting that right now. It's because this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good to know, you know?
Yeah.
There are a lot of experts out there that aren't in the medical community. They deal with it on a daily basis. So, yep. Of course, they're experts.
Well, and I'm with a lot of things, I often don't know how to approach that with my wife, right? Like, I don't want her to be on Lexapro, whatever she's on, because I know the side effects of it. And I know that the alternatives that she could try that may or may not work, right? Like, they may not work at all for her.
Right.
But what if they do? If they do, the side effects are much better than what she's taking now.
Yeah. But maybe she's like my wife where it's like, well, my doctor hasn't given that to me.
Well, that's exactly why. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, whatever the doctor says, yes, yes, yes. I just nod and I do it. Yeah. Like, I do that too. I mean, I'm a bad proponent of it.
But see,
where at least my wife will, at this point, she has a working relationship with her doctor that her doctor's like, I'm going to give you 3 prescriptions for chemo that you can go home, you can research, look at the pros and cons, and then we'll get back together and then we'll go on one. Where for me, all the doctor would have to be is like, here, stupid, here's a prescription, go fill this.
Yep.
Don't ask me any questions about it, just go blindly do it. And I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Well, see, and that's where I kind of have my issue.
Like, yeah, of course you should.
Well, but the thing is, like, why is my wife okay recommending her grandma take CBD or smoke a joint or whatever to take care of her issue? But what I know that she could do the same thing and get off a medication that I feel is like very harmful, but she won't do it. You see what I mean? It's very, yeah. The whole pharmaceutical thing is so weird, man.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So weird. If anyone wants to talk to me about drugs privately, by all means, I am always available because I find this fascinating. Obviously, I'm very liberal in my views of this whole thing. And I, like I said, I do not smoke weed. I told my wife since pretty soon after we got married, I've told my wife, if weed was legal in the state, I would smoke. However, it is not, and so I do not.
Right. Yeah, I would love to find her that oil or something, you know, even just like something for tea or whatever, just to like, just give it a try. Do it this weekend. Come on.
Get some kava, man. I'm telling you, that shit is so good.
I don't even know where I would even look for it.
Vitamin Shoppe, GNC.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
The sad thing is, my guess is it isn't cheap. And
it's not expensive.
But at this point, you don't – like the amount of money that we have to play with is so small.
No, I know. So I will say this. So I do kava tea. I make it myself twice a week. I do 400 milligrams of kava and 800 milligrams of Damiana. And it is the most chillaxing feeling. That's how I've dealt with not drinking.
Mm.
Is I make this tea and it tastes like hot garbage. It is the bitterest thing ever. I mean, you can just pop the pills. But I don't feel it works quite as well as when you take them out of the pill and make them into a tea. I feel like when those days where I do that, I feel fantastic. Because it gives you the relaxed feeling of when you have a few beers or whatever in you. Whatever makes you feel good with alcohol,
mm-hmm. Sure.
It gives you that feeling with none of the side effects.
Nice.
And you sleep fucking fantastic.
That's great.
It's so good. Anyways, I don't condone drugs of any kind.
Nor do you run a GNC.
Nor do I run a GNC, a vitamin shop, but maybe I should. But again, if you want to talk to me about this stuff privately, I am more than happy to.
Yeah.
I am more than happy to. I try to educate myself in as much as I can on multiple things. Some of my science may be flawed, but until I try it, I don't know. So if you want a safe space, I'll be your safe space. You can find me on Twitter at Geekvine. You can email me. What's my email? You can email the show. hello@nerdlegion.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be happy to talk to you about it. Or on Discord for those of our friends that want to talk to me about this.
Jeez.
I don't talk about any of this stuff publicly because I don't want anyone to feel like I condone or disown any ideas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a live and let live kind of guy. So you do what you want to do with your life.
Yes, you are.
But if you want to talk to me about it, by all means, I would be happy to because I have no one to talk to about except research papers that I read for fun because I'm a nerd.
That's excellent.
Oh, my God. All right. You want to wrap this up, Nick?
Let's put a bow on this 3.5-hour podcast.
Oh, my God. God, I'm gonna make this into two episodes.
Are you?
Is that okay with you?
I don't care.
All right, here's what I'm gonna do. If I can find like an okay place to split them, then I'm gonna do two.
That sounds good.
It might be tough though, because I have a vague recollection of our kind of split, natural split, and it might be hard. So we'll see. Anyways, you can find us on Twitter at Geekvine at Nick Wetmore. At Nerd Legion is also the Twitter for the podcast, also the network. Mm-hmm. You can find all the other fantastic shows at nerdlegion.com. And I'll be at C2E2. What day is that?
3 weeks,
21st through the 24th. I'll be a C2E2. Nick will be a C2E2. I think 80% of all the podcasters on the Nerd Legion will be at C2E2. I also believe that what would you consider that? I will say 40% of Geek Brunch, because even though you have Geek Brunch, which is Bill and Mike, and they'll both be there, but you also have Geek Brunch Retro, which has also Chris and Rob, and they will not be there, but it has Mike. So 60% of Geek Brunch will be at C2E2, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
As well as Kyle.
Kyle's going to be there?
I thought he was going to try to make it.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So there's going to be a lot of fucking cool people at C2E2. And we are going to be doing a lot of drinking and a lot of having fun and a lot of eating catfish. So what you should do is come hang out with us at C2E2. We do not have an officially scheduled panel. However, I guarantee you, Ronnie and I will get very drunk and we will steal somebody's room and have an impromptu C2E2 panel. Nick will be there. And I will force Nick to drink a lot with us. He will have a great time because you know what? Nick, you fucking deserve it, man.
Aw, thanks.
You do. You're the best. I love you, Nick.
I love you too.
That's it. We'll be back some point. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.